was in New York. It was a rat. Hello.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Yes, Thursday, November 7th, 2024. This is your award-winning Gibbo Nation Media Assassination, episode 1710.
This is No Agenda.
We are unburdened and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region number 6. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're all wondering when these blowhard celebrities are going to leave the country. I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
You know that's not going to happen.
They all promised.
No, no one promised this year. I don't think, who promised?
Yeah, they did. There's a laundry list of them.
I heard a lot of rich Americans were going to move to other countries. I don't know why you do that.
Good.
Hey, I think it pretty much happened the way we thought it would. Wet fart, votes in on time.
I don't know. I don't think it was a wet fart. You keep continue to say over and over again for some reason. You must have some sort of digestive issues because it's on your mind.
I'm sorry. I must have missed the massive protests you predicted.
Oh,
I must have missed that. A
little touche.
Thank you. What people forget is that we knew, well, we hypothesized, but all the evidence pointed towards the system wanting Trump in.
Yeah.
And so I think even as I was watching, I saw, you know, it was so obvious. Like, I'm just like, call Pennsylvania already. And I'm switching around MSNBC.
Oh, MSNBC was the worst of the group.
Everybody.
They refused to call anything.
But I think they were all, even Fox, I think they were waiting. Like,
No, Fox moved fast.
It wasn't as fast as it could have been. There was 93% in Pennsylvania.
Well, I'm not going to argue that.
And I think they were all just waiting, just in case there's going to be a ballot drop. You know, it's like.
Yeah, we're waiting for the truck. Loads of phony ballots.
We're waiting for something
Where
to happen.
Where are they?
There was an emergency meeting of pastors this morning. Did you hear about this?
Tell me.
Well, they fear the rapture has already begun and 15 million Democrat voters from 2020 are missing. Come on.
I'm sorry. It took me two beats to get that joke.
Woo!
And I think, right. You know, the number generally is 20 million, but... But 15 is good. Yes. Where'd those people go?
Did you see that chart with the blue and the red line? That's a great chart.
Classic chart.
I'm even seeing people posting.
I'll put it in the next newsletter.
Hey, maybe we did cheat in 2020. but I think that's what was needed. It was needed. It was needed for us to see how bad it really was. And I'm just very happy that we've received this grace and mercy that that Trump won now, because it could have gotten worse.
I'm not happy at all unless these celebrities leave the country.
So as I'm looking around, of course, as I hope there wouldn't be too much of, but there's a lot of ball spiking. There's a lot of look at the libs, look at the libs. Oh,
yeah,
the liberal
I have
cheers.
A few clips.
Well, why don't you do those and get them out of the way?
I'll get these clips out of the way, but before I play any of them, I'm now convinced, because even Brunetti sent me a couple. These are not serious. These are people that are auditioning for Hollywood roles.
Oh, but hold on a second. Well, I don't know if they're auditioning for Hollywood roles, but I told you the whole system on TikTok is... To get more TikTok love, you got to cry. And then people, oh, you go, girl. It's okay. It's going to be all right. We got you. And then you got some TikTok. It's a loop. It's a continuous loop. That's what the system does. They love it.
Well, let's start with this one. I didn't get people thinking I'm going to get 100 of them.
No,
I only got 3.
We don't want 100.
No, I got 3.
Okay.
And I got 2. I think 2 of them are fake. 1 of them might be real. But let's start with the probably fake. This was some loser going on and on crying. Not a wet drop seen anywhere on her face if you look carefully. This is bull crap.
Well, which one is it?
Probably fake.
Easy thing
Talk
to me
probably
is that,
fake.
Got it.
Easy thing to me is that if this guy does end up winning again... all of the people who voted for him will be like happy and they'll just be celebrating. And everyone else, everyone who feels threatened by him is fucking scared. Like we're scared for our lives. We're scared for our friends. Like you have pro-life women dying because their doctors are scared to treat them.
You might die.
Because of the repercussions of his last presidency. How did we get here? How did we get here? God. To know that there is that much ignorance and that much hate in this country. It's so terrifying. It's so terrifying. How could you do this? How can you claim to be a Christian or anyone of moral values and support someone when every word out of his mouth is hate, when he wants to pardon people who took over the Capitol? You do not do this to people that you love and care about. If you have a woman in your life, if you have an LGBTQ person in your life, if you have anyone in your life who's not white, how did we get here? Someone tell me, please. Someone really tell me, please. Because the only way I see it is that, like, either he cheated and that was his secret, or this country is built on so much hate and we might never get out of this. If you voted for him, you are dead to me.
Yeah.
Go ahead and
You're
block me.
Me.
I don't give a shit. I really don't.
Okay, so this
Let me ask you a question. Is this the one that Brunetti sent to you?
Oh, I don't. You know, I don't know. It may have been. Well, there's a bunch.
But it's important.
It doesn't matter. This is a phony baloney. She's not crying. There's no tears.
I want to make a point. Dana Brunetti is a big time Hollywood producer. Not everybody knows when we just say Brunetti. He did House of Cards. He did Grand Prix, Gran Turismo. And this is a big time Hollywood producer. And I might add, executive producer of the No Agenda show.
Yes, he is.
He couldn't make it to executive. He's an executive, associate executive producer, actually. And when I listened to this, because I saw this, it almost feels like she's reading a script. It may be parts of two different scripts, but it's a script.
And they throw in the thing about he's going to pardon the January. What has that got to do with her complaint?
How did we get here?
This is bull crap.
How did we get here? You want to intersperse this with some other stuff, or you want to do all?
No,
want to get
I really
all
want
out
to get
the
these. You said, "What am I, you told me to get him out of the way."
Get him out of the way.
Let's do another audition. TikTok, another audition. This should be on the Gong Show.
This can't be real. That's great.
This can't be real. I'm sorry. It's all my friends who are Trump supporters. I don't understand how scared of this man I am. And I don't say a word to y'all because I try to keep politics out of my friendships because I don't want my beliefs and your beliefs to mess up our friendship because that's something different. This man scares the shit out of me and now he's fucking president. Oh my God.
Next, move along, Missy.
A rare sound effect insert. Very nice.
Very rare. Now, this one, the only one I believe is somewhat sincere is this self-absorbed woman. I believe she's sincere. I don't believe it was acting. And she's full of herself, and she thinks she's God's gift to men. And you don't have to play it. Well, it's only a minute, but she's going to. This is the most arrogant of the triple here.
This is all prank, right? Like we're just gonna wake up tomorrow morning and everything's gonna go back to the way it'll be a psych. It'll be like a really bad dream, and none of this will have ever happened, right? Like it'll be like the first time, and then we're all gonna pull through fine in 4 years. Correct? Please, someone tell me. I can tell you one thing right now. Marriage is the farthest.
Whoa, was that an edit? She just all of a sudden
she edited
woke up.
Herself.
Oh, okay.
Through fine in 4 years. Correct? Please? Someone tell me. I can tell you one thing right now. Marriage is the farthest thing from on the table currently. So they screwed the pooch on that one. If they thought that any of this was going to actually help with the whole family and kids department. And
a little change of attitude here.
And lowering birth rates, because that, no. Not even any semblance of thoughts I had or hope for that is completely going to be a no thanks for me, love.
You think I would ever even dare bring a child into this country now? It was rough before. Now? No. That's cute. And the men, don't even get me started about dating. To think, I was still entertaining a few moderates here and there sometimes. No, honey, no. Not even close. That's never goodbye.
Was she cute? Was she worth dating? I mean,
no, she's mediocre looking to at best. She's not unattractive, but she's not some hottie like she thinks she is. I want to finish with this though, because you had given me crap last show when I played one of these clips, and you felt sorry for the girl that I was ridiculing, and I took it to heart.
Hold on. I never felt sorry for the girl you were ridiculing. I felt sorry for the listeners who can't see what you're talking about.
No, you were thinking, you felt sorry for the woman. You thought she was...
I don't remember, but okay. Maybe it's true.
No, I can assure you, because I have a clip from Alex Jones, which is kind of in the same vein. And Jones, who doesn't look very good on his TikTok channel.
He's on TikTok?
No, I'm sorry. He's on his ex channel.
Oh, yeah.
But he just doesn't. He looks like, I don't know what he looks. Doesn't look good. Hmm. But he played a bunch of these, the best clips, which you do have to see, like the black chick that's gone nuts in her car and those things. People can find these on X. But he plays a bunch of them. Then he does a little, this is a 1 minute, an 8 second clip. It's called Meltdown Jones. Mm-hmm. And he has basically the same lecture that I have to now accept is probably the right attitude.
We're about to show you some more of the latest complete meltdowns and freakouts by leftists here in the United States, because they think the second coming of Hitler has come with President Trump being reelected for the third time to be the 47th president of the United States. They have Stockholm syndrome. They yes. love the establishment. They love their abusers. They think that they're the mavericks, the underdogs, the rebels. But conservatives and populists who are making fun of them need to understand that these people were brought up in this culture. They were set in front of the television by their parents. They were then brainwashed by the educational system. And these are fellow Americans who we lost to the brainwashing. And so I really don't think it's a laughing matter, even though I understand it's hilarious.
Yes, you're right.
But when you understand how truly illiterate these people are, on just how culture and systems work, they have no street smarts, you understand that it is the process that has been rolled out of social engineering that has allowed this.
You're correct. I remember now. It was a clip about the girl who said she lost her dad to Fox News and Trump.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Jones, I agree with him here that we're all high. My phone has been, as they say, blowing up with memes of
I haven't got one call on my cell.
It's not even on. Come on.
Oh.
And people aren't calling me with the memes. They're texting me with the memes. So, yes. And you know what? This is what occurred to me. So this whole thing. Well, hold on. I'll get to that in a moment. First, let's get to some professional people who are responsible, partially, if not very much responsible, for this trauma. It is true trauma that has been bestowed upon these people, particularly younger people. And let's just start with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who immediately had to weigh in and throw some more fear on top of it. Remember, she's the one that, I think it was 8 years. How many years has she been in Congress? She's been in there six years?
She's been in only about four.
Okay. Well, 4 years ago, she said, we only have 12 years until we all die.
Right. No, she had the date.
She had the year. And from climate change, we're going to die. And she was on stage with that hoity-toity writer. What's his name? The black guy.
Let me think. A hoity-toity black guy.
Not Van Jones. No, the guy who writes all the the books that all the Upper East Side is all happy about. It doesn't really matter.
I guess not.
No, I can't remember. I'm looking at the troll room like, help me out. Troll room's going.
Help me out. Trolls. Trolls, please.
Troll room's going. I don't know.
I don't know.
You know, the guy. It's the guy. All right, here's AOC.
We are about to enter a political period that will have consequences for the rest of our lives. We cannot give up. We now find ourselves in a time in history that has precedent, and we find ourselves, I believe, in a time where there are, let's say, peers in history of mass movements of people that mobilize to protect one another in times of fascism and authoritarianism. And this is the era that we are poised to enter. Donald Trump has talked about turning the military on U.S. citizens that he deems his domestic political enemies.
See, there's 25 seconds left, but I have a feeling she might actually believe that to a certain degree.
I think she does, and I think the Van Joneses do, and I think that Capehart does, and all these guys. I don't have any clips from them.
Well, hold on.
I mean, I have actual.
Hold on.
Let
me finish with her. Let me finish with her.
No, I'm just going to say, I just have analysis clips that I think are accurate, but you're right. These people, and there's lots of them, and they're all on MSNBC, and there's a couple in Congress. She's one of them. All believe this.
Authoritarians and people that he affiliates closely with and strongmen abroad in regimes like that, it is not uncommon to jail political dissidents or legislative opponents. This is the world that we very realistically may be entering.
Okay, so
maybe, yeah, we may really maybe.
So
come on.
Well, let's stick with the strongmen abroad for a second. The strongmen abroad. Who was the strongmen abroad? Oh, that could only be Putin, and right on cue.
Or Orban.
Well, of course, but he, you know, come on. I mean, don't you understand about Putin's stronghold on Trump? Because Bob Woodward certainly does.
I know recently you said that the former president is far worse than Richard Nixon. Obviously, a majority of voters were not concerned. I'm wondering what you thought last night as you watched results come in. What do you think of where we're at right now?
Well, it's the functioning of democracy. So he's president-elect. There are lots of things to watch in what will be the new Trump administration. I just want to cite one of them, and that is the relationship Trump has with Putin, the Russian leader. I talked a couple of months ago to the Dan Coats, the former director of national intelligence under Trump, and I said, what's going on in this relationship between Trump and Putin? And Dan Coats said, it's so close, it seems like it might be blackmail. CIA Director Bill Burns said, Putin manipulates. He's professionally trained to do that. Putin's got a plan just to be, to do this exactly when Trump. And it's what he did when Trump was in office previously, and he's planning it again.
Putin!
He's planning it again. It's what he did the last
time. What while Trump was in office?
He did it. Don't you know he did it?
He did what?
He did it.
When Trump was in office, what did he do?
He blackmailed Trump and had him dance
into
his pipes.
And then Trump did what?
He did everything he wanted him to do. Don't you know that? Ta-Nehisi Coates is the guy I was thinking of.
That's, oh yeah, that guy. Name comes to mind.
All right. One more professional crybaby, and then we need to get to some analysis because people come here for analysis. But, you know, we're doing our own little version of spiking the ball.
While you're doing that, yeah, our version of spiking the ball is a lot more sensible than anybody else's. It may be disappointing to the troll room who's expecting vitriol, but we don't have it.
Well, a little bit of vitriol.
I do have a lot of thoughts on the matter, but we'll get to those.
A little bit of vitriol for Jimmy Kimmel. As you remember, two shows ago, he had a sit-down interview, and he didn't know what he was going to say the next. I can't even think about what I'm going to say if Trump wins. He's not going to win, so I don't have to worry about it. I'm thinking about what I'm going to say when Kamala wins, and... Well, of course, he had to say something.
Let's be honest. It was a terrible night last night. It was a terrible night for women, for children, for the hundreds of thousands of hardworking immigrants who make this country go. For healthcare, for our climate.
Oh!
Science. For journalism.
Journalism!
For justice, for free speech. It was a terrible night for poor people, for the middle class, for seniors, for relying on Social Security, for our allies in Ukraine.
NATO!
For NATO, for the truth.
NATO.
And democracy and decency. And it was a terrible night for everyone who voted against him. And guess what? It was a bad night for everyone who voted for him, too. You just don't realize it yet.
He's choking back the tears. It was very, very difficult.
He's
for
pathetic.
Jimmy. Very difficult. Now, I want to hear some analysis. I want you to go
but,
first.
Well, wait, since you're on this track, I do have a couple of things I want to play. First, I want to play the dank Brandon clip. You've heard this.
Mm-hmm.
This is Biden.
Everyone thought this. I wasn't.
You didn't like. You didn't think this was funny.
I mean, it's like okay. This to me was a version of look at this, so cool. It's an AI of Biden. Like I'm kind of over it, but yeah.
My fellow Americans and autists who voted for Trump, it's your boy Dank Brandon here. I want to take a moment to congratulate the DNC on losing another election to Donald Trump. You replaced me with a candidate who has the same likability as Greasy, Hobo Tate, and expected to win. And they say I'm the retarded one. The Democrats said that I was too old, that I was too slow, that I was a joke. Well, here's a joke for you. What do Willie Brown and the 2024 presidential election have in common? Kamala Harris blew both of them. I shouldn't have said that. But seriously, I mean, first Hillary loses to Donald and now Kamala. This man has beaten more women than Doug Emhoff. Anyways, congrats on losing to Hitler again. I hope he locked you all up this time. Dank Brandon out.
Now, I think
that's AI.
I think reality is much funnier. This to me is like, okay, is that what Silicon, what Wall Street is investing $150 billion to come up with that? Please, sucks. It's no good.
That you brought up the investment.
The timing is funny. It's not funny. It wasn't all that funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. You didn't think it was funny. I have one more clip of that's AI that I should play. And then we'll be done with that. But first, we played a clip from Cardi B from last show.
Yes.
Which I do have this clip. It's only 40 seconds. You want to play it again. Which is Cardi B for Kamala.
Yes, I do have it here.
I believe in every word that comes out of her mouth. She's passionate. She's compassionate. She shows empathy. And most of all, she is not delusional. Yeah. Yeah. Kamala recognized that this country is at risk, that the economy needs to get stronger, that the cost of food and the cost of living is too high. Damn, it's even high for me.
Okay, stop it.
If I recall... You said she's probably on the Diddy tapes.
Yes, I'm convinced of it.
Okay, all right.
Now, somebody ran it through a filter, and this is a pretty funny filter. I'd like to find out what this is, but play this version of the same clip that was run through the filter. This is Cardi Better Business Bureau.
I believe in every word that comes out of her mouth. She's passionate. She's compassionate. She shows empathy. And most of all, she is not delusional. Yeah. Kamala recognizes that this country's at risk, that the economy needs to get stronger, that the cost of food and the cost of living is too high. Damn, it's even high for me. I believe her when she says, under her, buying eggs and milk won't break the bank. Because she's going to pass a ban on price dodging on groceries. And she told me that in my face. So she better not bother me in my face.
You know, it sounds like, it sounds like Cartman. From South, John,
it does a little bit. You're right.
I don't think it's that funny. I just don't.
Well, I know you're just you didn't think nothing's funny, but that's okay. You're turning into a Democrat, so I have to be insulted. Sorry.
I will be quick to listen, slow to speak, and even slower to get angry.
Well, if you want to listen slow, I do have Kamala's part of the beginning of her concession speech. Now, I have to say that just to be transparent, I used the tempo filter.
Oh, God, this isn't you're pissing me off now. It's like you are a crazy right wing nut job at this point.
Why?
You're spiking the ball. I want to get to some analysis. I'm waiting.
OK, we're waiting. That we're going to skip it, which is hilarious.
No,
but
we're playing it. Now we're playing it for sure. I want to hear what you think. It's not that funny. OK, it's not that funny. All right. Allow me to play my Kamala Harris concession speech. Synced up to Hillary Clinton's concession speech.
The outcome of this election is not what we wanted, not what we fought for, not what we voted for.
This is not the outcome we wanted or we worked so hard for.
Earlier today, I spoke with President-elect Trump and congratulated him on his victory. I also told him that we will help him and his team with their transition.
Last night, I congratulated Donald Trump and offered to work with him on behalf of our country.
Over the 107 days of this campaign, we have been intentional about building community and building coalitions, bringing people together from every walk of life and background.
We've spent a year and a half bringing together millions of people from every corner of our country to say with one voice that we believe that the American dream is big enough for everyone.
To the young people who are watching, it is okay to feel sad and disappointed, but please know it's going to be okay.
To the young people in particular, I hope you will hear this.
On the campaign, I would often say, when we fight, we win. But here's the thing. Sometimes the fight takes a while. That doesn't mean we won't win.
This loss hurts, but please never stop believing that fighting for what's right is worth it.
So they're basically the same person with the same
concession. No, the same speechwriter.
Who do you think it was?
Favreau.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Of course, Favreau. I just want to say something. I want to get to your analysis.
And by the way, that is so pathetic that they would, you know, it is a copy of Hillary's speech. And everything that Kamala did was a derivative of something somebody else did. She was the most unoriginal person ever to run for the office. And they wonder why she lost.
Because
the public really, at some level, not the whole public, most people, you know, a lot of people still vote, just they vote party line. They don't care. But there's enough people that notice.
She was not intended to win. We knew that. We had already agreed, both you and I, that just Trump is supposed to win 2027, the big China thing.
Yeah, but you got to make it look good.
Oh, yeah. Well, Kamala was the right person to make it look good. I mean, I think some of they're down a little bit today, but we had the defense stocks were reasonably happy. The whole stock market was happy. The Fed will be lowering interest rates today. Hey, that's going to be nice. But here's what occurred to me. What happened here is it's like a movie. We as Americans are trained to have our hero. If we're watching the movie, almost die in the fight, you know, get shot. And he's going to be, but he comes through in the end in victory. It's like Die Hard. So right now we're all high-fiving as we walk out of the movie theater during the credit roll. You know, that's what's happening on social media. Yeah, yeah, great. And then we're going to go back to our lives and like, Trump's going to fix it. Bruce Willis is going to take care of it. The asteroid's not going to hit us. But this is really, if you're serious about it, the beginning of change. Oh, hope and change.
Change.
Yes. And everyone, oh, Elon, RFK Jr., woo! Yes, if you're going to be the Elon in your own community and strip out the waste and fraud that's going on and be RFK Jr. and make sure your kids aren't eating crap, then it's a good thing. I'm very worried about people just falling back and go, okay, that's good. Let's,
oh, post, yeah, being
let's
lazy.
Post some memes. Let's post some memes, man, because Trump well, won. Trump
hey,
won.
There's nothing wrong with posting memes.
And here's a serious question I have, and you, I'm sure you'll have an answer. But what about your neighbor who has the Harris Waltz yard sign? What do you do? Do you even look at him? Do you go over and say, hey, you want to have a drink? Or do you just pray for him? Or what do you do? Do you just
Can I say something that's kind of an interesting observation?
Yeah.
I'm in the Berkeley area.
Yes.
I have not seen, except in the back of a pickup truck, I have not seen one Harris Walls lawn sign ever.
Really? Really?
In the entire campaign. There was plenty of Biden ones because I collected a couple of them.
Hmm.
And there were Hillary ones, wait, and there was plenty of Hillary ones.
Did you collect them from people's yards? No,
one was in a big empty field.
You radical.
And I waited until after the election, and I grabbed it, and I saved it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was plenty of signs, for even from Bernie and all the rest of them. But for this election cycle, I have not seen one single sign anywhere.
Well, we have them in Fredericksburg. And I'm just wondering what people are going to do. Are you just going to walk by and ignore your neighbor? Or are you going to say, you know, yeah, maybe we should just have a chat, something. You know, that piece is not
solved. Okay, what would you recommend? Because the way I see it, it's none of my business. If they wanted Walls and Walls of the Balls and Harris, okay, it's their privilege. I'm not going to talk to them like a Jehovah's Witness.
Well, I don't think it's like a Jehovah's Witness. I think if you bump into your neighbor, here's what I would say. If I bump into, and we don't have one in our street, but I know further up there's one. I'd say, hey,
there's one.
There's in Fredericksburg. There's actually quite a few Democrats with yard signs. I'd say, hey, just so you know, I know you voted for Harris Walls. I voted for Trump. Just want you to know, we will be watching. We'll be making sure that he doesn't screw things up. You gotta make someone feel good.
They'd be watching their house.
Well, I'm watching you. I got you under fire.
No. I got eyes on you, dude.
Something. You know, we have to extend. Anyway, I have another thing. I'm remembering what happened before this election, and I want to call out a couple of culture war economy fear mongers for the bull crap psyop that you put people through. My neighbors. Me? No. You're not on this list.
Them.
What did I say?
You said you.
I said a couple people I want to call you out, not you, them. I'm calling them out. So the people I'm about to name, I'm calling you out. That's not you, John. Culture war economy fear mongers who did this for attention, for views, for clickbait revenue generators. And I'm going to say it was the grid's going down. We're going to be under martial law, military age Chinese men forming an army. We're going to have blue helmets, UN forces, Venezuelan gangs with orders to shoot law enforcement. What?
Hold on. I was actually, instead of doing the bit I did at the beginning of the show about leaving the country, that was the one I was going to bring up, which was, and I actually kind of forgot until you just brought it up. Yes.
Well, let me give you a list of people, because I've kept track of people who were propagating this over and over again.
They should be called out. This is ridiculous.
Dan Bongino, Tim Pool, Sean Ryan, Alex Jones, Patrick Bet David, Mike Benz, my neighbor Laura, Phil Waldron, Clayton and Natalie Morris, Monkey Works, Colonel McGregor. Oh, yeah, haven't forgotten Colonel McGregor.
I don't think we'll ever get to the 2024 election. I think things are going to implode in Washington before then.
Okay, thank you. General Flynn is on my list. Scott Ritter. And, of course, everyone's favorite, Naomi Wolf.
I know that we're going to see, and they're signaling it, you know, we're not going to have an accurate count of the election. Almost all the battleground states, if not all of them, have signaled that it's going to be 4 days. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to say it's going to be 4 days. It's going to be 5 days. It's going to be 6 days. It's going to be 2 weeks. We don't have an accurate count. Oh, no, we have no electricity. We can't count the ballots. They're electronic machines, right? The electricity is down. I mean, we are this close to that. And then what I...
Now, the only one I'll give some... Actually, I'll give Laura a little bit of grace. I'll give Naomi Wolf some grace on this because of their former defense intelligence spouses. But I just want us to be aware that they will continue to do this. And when I say they, it's military.
Yeah, you got the right. You have the laundry list. You have the usual suspects. That list is the list.
And there's probably a few I've forgotten. But and even the
Adam Lader.
What's the guy's name? Phil Waldron. He was fear mongering to like a group of 100 pastors that this was going to happen. Make sure your churches have food and water and. This is a military psyop, and it's this is I think this is where Q comes from. All of this stuff, in order to because when you have fear, and a lot of women here were very very fearful, and you know they're on text groups and Tina's in an apartment and I'd tell her text them has the grid gone down yet to get a laugh you know just
yeah
to
loosen, good
to loosen them up to loosen them up, And so I'm not mad at them. I'm not really mad at Naomi or Laura Logan because I know that they're getting it and it's coming from the military or the military industrial complex. It's military intelligence induced and they're doing it to put the fear into you. And in this case, it was vote Trump, you know, and it'll be something else in the future. They will continue to do this. The Chinese are in, you know, they're buying up all the land next to the bases. They're flying drones everywhere. They're doing this to invoke fear. And then when you're fearful, then whatever message they give you, and it's always packed in
it
there.
Sticks.
It's yes. And you're going to follow orders. So.
Yes, we can stop the show right now. What that exposition right there is one of the most important things our listeners and producers should pay attention to, because that's exactly right. And the names you named, I'd almost ask you to name them again, but I'll skip it. It are the names of the guys that should be ashamed of themselves for taking part in this psyop.
And I've you know, in the previous election, I've fallen to some of the as you call them, micro dots and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, you did. You fell into the micro dot.
Where did
the
it
micro
come,
quantum
where did it,
dot.
And where did it come from? Steve Pachenik, military intelligence. It always comes from the same place. And he seemed to be all in on it as well. So
he embarrassed himself on the Alex Jones show.
So we have to be wary of this. Just as we told you to calm down before the election, don't worry about it. It's not going to happen. We're not all going to die. The vote will happen. The
grid's going down. The grid is good. It's funny.
I was actually posting on X. Is the grid down yet?
Is the grid down yet?
And most people got it. You know, some people are like, hey, man, there's a power outage in Los Angeles. Like, oh, that'll matter for the vote.
I had a clip. I didn't get this clip, but it was a clip, local clip, which I could have edited it just right, but it was a clip about the power grid actually going down because there's a windstorm in Northern California and they have to shut the power off. And it was just borderline enough that it would have been funny.
There's one other expo I'd like to do because this, I think this is important for us. It's important for our producers. And it is very telling of the times. And this is, I'm going to call it the serious media reaction. So not MSNBC, Fox, and CNN, who are on the way. I saw Greg Gutfeld last night. Tina turned it on, and he had you're right. His opening monologue was, he had a good series of funny jokes, but then he said, but then he starts talking about the mainstream media, Dude, read the room. You are the mainstream media.
We watched it last. Mimi and I watched it, and we noticed that he had a series of gags at the beginning that were obviously the writer's room going nuts.
Oh, and they were funny.
They were funny, and they went one after the other after the other after that. If anyone could go back and watch the Gutfeld show from last night, just the opening monologue where he does the jokes. They're very funny, but you could just see it because I don't know personally, but I know who the writers are. They don't list them. This is a funny thing about today's media in some shows, like especially on Fox. They won't list the people because they get poached.
Of course.
Because I don't think Fox pays top dollar, and I think other people can get these guys cheaper.
Well, but then he's talking about, the mainstream this, the mainstream
that.
No,
it's done. It's done. It's cooked.
But he is the mainstream, and
he's the number one late night guy.
Yeah, but people are cutting the cord, and the carriage fees are going down. We've seen the writing is on the wall. It's been going on for a long time. Yeah, he should move to a podcast right away, because that is the future. As per CBS News, listen to this.
Do you think his appearance on Joe Rogan's popular podcast helped cement him with this new coalition of Republican voters?
Well, if we're thinking about that coalition as containing young white men under 30, it also contains young Latino men and young black men, but he did particularly well among young white voters under 30. I think it's Joe Rogan. I think it's all the podcasts that he went on and his general aspect and response to kind of the norms and the fussiness of elites. And experts and all of that, which has been his thorough message for years.
Mm-hmm. 2008 was the YouTube election, right? Mm-hmm. And the blog election. This was clearly the podcast election.
And by fussiness of the leads, do you mean fact-checking by people who do what we do for a living?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's absolutely. You know, and
thank you for the clarification, Mark.
Yeah. Well, it's an important point because it's just direct to consumer. Put it right in your vein, messaging whatever you want to say.
Right. I mean, there used to be you had to clear a threshold of, 60 minutes. He didn't do 60 minutes, but he did the podcast that fed right into this constituency. Mm-hmm.
I can so remember covering George W. Bush, who would say, "You guys are just the filter." And Donald Trump has found a way to surpass the filter. And as you said, just get directly into the veins of his supporters. We'll have more to discuss. You're watching CBS News, America Decides, Election 2024.
So Donald Trump has found a way to get around the filter. Now, they are very troubled by this development.
They're fooling themselves. This is bull crap. And since you want me to do some analysis stuff.
I wasn't quite finished, but
I have one that fits right into what you just did.
Okay.
Unless you have more, if you want to go back to the podcast and pound it home more about the young voters, because it was Jessica Tarlott, the Democrat, on the Five, who I think just nailed it and had nothing to do with podcasts or anything else.
Not about the American people, Jessica, and they didn't pay attention to the numbers that 7 out of 10 thought the country was headed in the wrong direction, and Beyonce and Taylor Swift and all of them weren't enough to change their minds.
Yeah, I don't think the celebrity stuff mattered in this. I really do think it was just the fundamentals. Like, it was the right track, wrong track. It was, do you feel better off than, for today than you were 4 years ago, et cetera. And that's what people went and voted on. The question of the permanence of the coalition is an interesting one because Donald Trump is an anomalous person on every level. And people who might not necessarily like some of the things that he says have it in their minds like, well, he's not really going to do that. Or we know that Donald Trump was pro-choice for most of his life. Now he's the leader of the Republican Party. He is definitely taking a pro-life position. But I've spoken to many people who say that they don't think that he's someone who would ever favor a national abortion ban, for instance, because he's someone who has this kind of background. And that allows him to weave, as he would say, between these different communities. So does the bro vote continue to turn out? I'm not really sure. But one thing that I think is interesting, especially since the Harris campaign began as the Joy candidacy, is that you see a lot of people, especially younger people, and he did really well with 18 to 24-year-olds, especially men, that they felt like it doesn't have to be that serious. And you guys always say this to me, like, liberals take everything as like life or death, right? Like, we're not going to have a climate, or we're not going to be able to get up tomorrow. And I think that people showed up and just said, I might not even really like him, but I don't want to be told the sky is falling every single day for the next 4 years.
I think that's a very good assertion she makes.
It's the best she's ever done. I mean, she's normally just combative on that show, but she's actually an analyst for or a Democrat strategist, and she nails it. I think it was just, I don't want to be lectured to for the next 4 years about any of this crap. Let's put this guy in for the younger voters because they're sick of it. And it's got nothing to do with being on Rogan's. People aren't going to do base any, they're voting but, on that
but,
show.
But what I'm going to show you is has nothing to do with podcasts.
You don't have to show me. I'm totally convinced it's got nothing to do with podcasts. But I think it's funny that they're panicked about it, though, which gives podcasts a good name.
The panic is much worse and much, much deeper. NPR, one of my favorite hate listens, is on the media, where they talk about the media. So they talk about themselves. And you can imagine that Brooke and Micah and now Katya, who is their producer, were very distraught about Trump winning. They had an entire show all ready to go, set up to talk about how Trump was going to try and overturn the vote, how the legal process was going to work. Will they storm the Capitol again? They were convinced Harris was going to win. And so what they did, and this is what's so nice about it, they were completely themselves. And they decided to do an emergency pod.
Oh!
An emergency pod! Of them discussing what had happened, why it had happened, and what they are going to do. Here's the producer, Katya.
Hi, everyone. This is Katya, executive producer of On the Media. I said to Michael and Brooke last week, let's gather Wednesday morning and talk about our immediate reflections and, you know, thoughts following the election Tuesday night. We did the same in 2016. It was an experiment for us. I wanted to kind of recreate that. And we wondered what we were going to talk about, probably something about the Trump campaign accusing states of stealing votes or rigging the election, maybe something about how Fox News and others were spreading conspiracy theories. We did not expect this outcome. So the following conversation happened with no prep.
Stop. Right there, you have to, this is the part where people have got to say to themselves, what were you expecting? And why were you so cocksure? And why am I listening to you if you're this wrong? This is, reminds me of the 2016 moments where David Brooks kept going on PBS NewsHour going, he can get 30% the most he's ever going to get because that's a kind of a threshold, blah, 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 blah. He's never going to win. And all the other people. Why are we listening to people that are this inaccurate?
Well, we're not. That's the point. We're not. We're not.
No, we're not. But no. Why is the public at large?
The public at large is not listening. And this, what you're about to hear is the self-realization of these people realizing that they're not talking to anybody except themselves. That's the point.
Let's not
talk. Do they realize this, though? Do they realize that they're no good at their job?
No, of course not. Okay. No.
Let's not talk unless we're ready to record.
Oh, right.
We're recording.
Right.
We're recording. Don't you worry.
We are. Okay. So, Kat, you threw up all night?
I did. I slept on the bathroom floor for a couple of hours. It was a bug.
That's the executive producer was throwing up all night.
But maybe it wasn't.
Oh, my God.
So, we need to think about this week. I imagine that everybody is pretty darn tired, even on the Trump side. And then there are things that people are going to try to explain, and I want to make sure that we stay away from that. Like,
what
did the campaign do wrong? And this is what we all said the last time. There's something going on that those of us on the coasts don't understand. And I can't help but feel it all boils down in the end to the bubbles we're all in, and the fact that a great many Americans aren't familiar with the facts.
You said that there are obviously some, there are many Americans who don't know the facts that have been reported repeatedly by the media, the fact checks, the questions about Trump's policies, reporting on his last administration. All of that seems to either have been memory hold or not reached people. And I guess, Brooke, does that just mean that the media is fundamentally broken?
So now notice what they're saying here. We've been telling you the truth. We've been fact-checking all the lies, but people aren't hearing us. And, you know, 20 years ago, this little thing, and this is part of it, podcasting, but also social media, the internet in general, has disintermediated what these people are. And, you know, they're still on radio, and they're still in this, they're living in Brooklyn thinking, I'm on NPR. Everybody's listening to me. And very important voices all from the coasts.
I think the most important thing you said, that they're living in Brooklyn.
Correct. Now, Brooke actually realizes what is truly broken.
I think the media delivery system has a great deal wrong with it. And I think probably the mainstream or legacy media or wherever you want to fit us in still has a comprehension problem. We keep trying to understand. I remember when Bush was elected, and there were a lot of evangelicals in that case the first time.
Oh, it's the evangelicals now.
We were going, wow, this was happening beneath the surface. We didn't even know, but we should have known this time. And we still don't know. I don't know.
What did we not know? I guess I'm confused. Because a lot of the debates that we had on the show were about whether journalists took the threat of Donald Trump seriously and conveyed it clearly. We weren't talking so much about reaching people who had tuned out the media. I mean, right? That's almost a separate topic altogether.
I don't know that it is, Micah. I mean, I think it's the same topic. Who are you conveying this stuff clearly to? The entire nation, hopefully. But of course, we know we don't speak to the entire nation. No one does anymore. So we do a damn fine job of talking to ourselves.
Oh,
talking to ourselves. This is some amazing self-realization. She's like, no one's listening to us. That's how you could translate. This is important because I think this conversation is going on at the New York Times, at the Washington Post.
By the way, this is a smugness that underlies this discussion.
Yes.
That is, the arrogance is, and I don't want to, I hate to use the word palpable, but I'm going to do it. The arrogance is just, you can sense it, you can feel it. These people are just not good people.
Listen to this.
I guess what I'm getting at then is, if you think that enough of the stakes were conveyed by the end of the election and still this was the outcome, does that mean that mainstream media is irrelevant, that it is incapable of conveying a basic message?
I think they're not. I think that they didn't do a great job. We critiqued on this show the double standards, the false equivalencies. But in terms of the stakes, I think by the end they were doing a really good job. The fact is that it was in an echo chamber.
She gets it, but these other people don't. They're like, well, but you know, we did all the work. We did good reporting, blah, 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 blah. And then the executive producer, Katya, who's been puking all night, maybe from a bug, maybe not, all of a sudden she's like, oh, yeah, maybe that's what we messed up.
I wonder if some of this is, remember we did the show a few weeks ago about what was going to happen with the vote in all these different counties. And we did three interviews in a row, and the last question was, what can we do? And the final answer was like, local media, local media, local media. Go local, go local, go local. Maybe there's something to be said for this is kind of the end game of the loss of local media, that people don't want to be talked to from on high, from New York.
Yeah.
I love this idea. And I think it really rings true. I think people do want to hear from the people who live in their community, and the local news business has been devastated.
People's habits have changed. I mean, a lot of younger people are not watching their local TV stations or not paying for their local newspaper. There are still communities with access to local news, but people are on YouTube, they're on TikTok, they're listening to podcasts, right?
Yeah.
They have just chosen other personalities. They've chosen other people, journalists or those who LARP as journalists, to choose their information. There's no news monoculture left. That is dead.
Same thing that CBS is saying. We're supposed to be the guys. We're supposed to tell you. And as a media deconstructionist, you took away your local stations because the business model was failing. It's too expensive. You're too expensive with your 35 people on your productions. And you took away all the local NPR stations. They barely have local programming anymore. And yeah, that's right. Newspapers are gone too because it's moved to the internet. By the way, if you ever want to start a podcast, my advice is do one for your town. You'll be very successful at that.
That's what Mimi's doing with Pod Angeles.
Yes, and that is a very good idea. The future of media is hyper-local. And you will be able to support yourself. I'm convinced of it. Now we get to the point where it's so bad that Katya, the executive producer, is breaking down.
It's just, how do we cover? How do we filter stories? What's our frame? Like, that's, I remember I said exactly that. I'm certain we'll find our correct. I didn't even listen back to the 2016 pod we did the day after, but I remember saying, I feel confident that we'll find the right frame and we'll be able to tell this story well. And honestly, if this is a realignment, if this is as dramatic as it feels, I'm not even sure what the frame is now.
Well, I think we can't know. I think we have to take it day by day.
I love when you say that. I love when you say that.
No, listen, don't laugh over it, because here it comes.
I think we can't know. I think we have to take it day by day.
I love when you say that.
She's crying. What? She is breaking down in tears, not because people aren't getting news, what she doesn't know what the frame is. She's breaking down as the executive producer because she knows her career is limited. That's why she's crying. Oh my God, it's over. Our job is over. No one cares about us anymore. And she's right.
Well, I think we can't know. I think we have to take it day by day.
I love when you say that.
We're living in history. We don't have a roadmap, but we never have. I mean, the show has changed so much. When, Bush v. Gore happened, we've just seen lots and lots of changes. I think in the end, we keep talking about the messages that are out there, how they get out there, and hope that we can make a contribution.
So Brooke is trying to take the high road here. Like, we make a contribution. She must be set for life. She must have a pension, whatever. She doesn't care.
A rich husband.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. I don't know. She may be a lesbian. I'm not sure. A rich husband. Okay. Two more and then I'm done. So Mika.
Hold on a second. I'm going to interrupt
here.
Yeah,
please.
To compound the arrogance, to do a show like this when it's a produced show that normally has information, this is like us getting out of our formula and not doing clips anymore, but just talking to each other and as though we're bros or some other.
saying I think a lot.
Yeah, and say I think. This is the laziest thing you could possibly do. They could actually do a real show and bring some of the same stuff out without having to do this cheap-ass confessional thing, which is not interesting. I'm surprised you got through it. It's pathetic.
And what they keep saying, and this is, and for national public radio, our national treasure, they keep bringing up the same with CBS. They keep bringing up with Bush v. Gore, Bush v. Gore, because they're Democrats. You're not a journalist. You're a Democrat. You're a Democrat operative, which is fine. But don't give me hoity-toity, like, whoa, what frame do we put in? How do we get people the right information? You are biased. You're biased. You're corrupted. And you,
there you go.
And you don't even realize it. And then the Micah guy, He's not desperate yet because he thinks, oh, I'm younger than these two old turds. I could probably go work somewhere. I can probably get a job on cable network. He actually will tell you what their actual job is.
This is going to sound so trivial, but as I was watching the results come in last night, I saw that Mark Robinson lost his race, which, and I thought to myself, maybe journalism still matters a little bit. Maybe a really good investigative story can really take down a politician.
That's what it's about. Mark Robinson, the black guy, the radically saved black guy who they made up all these stories about him posting about him being a black Nazi on a porn site 20 years ago. Maybe we still have the capability to bring down a politician. Yeah, that's what we do here at NPR.
Investigative story can really take down a politician. Not Donald Trump. He's impervious. But maybe it's a sign that good information finds its intended audience some of the time. I know, that's absolutely pathetic. But
yeah, not pathetic. Hold on a second. Not Donald Trump, as though he's a target. He didn't say not Kamala Harris.
No, he said not Donald Trump.
These guys are so biased, and they're blind to it. And I noticed this because one of the things I did, I didn't discuss this in the newsletter, but I didn't get any clips, obviously. I went to Mastodon, of course, mastodon.social.
That's what you do.
It's what you do. And you look and you start looking at the stuff going on, and it's just like, oh, these people are so pathetic. They're all operatives, just like you said. They're all operatives for the Democrat Party. And then they bitch and moan when things don't go their way. And it's horrible.
And by the way, this is not unique to America. This is unique to public broadcasting in general. Across the world, my friend Robert Jensen does this in the Netherlands, and he used to be just like me, mainstream guy, and he left because all the media is, and that's funded by the government. NPR still gets some funding from the U.S. government. It's very little. They get it from underwriters and sponsors or advertising, call it what you want. It's all part of the leftist system that has taken over our culture, our schools, our medicine, everything, our policing, our justice system, and they are the propaganda arm. And they're now realizing, yes, thanks to this little thing called the internet, which, I mean, you and I could go on for days of stories where we told people, hey, you got to get involved in this thing. Like, we don't need the internet. MTV, MTV. We've got AOL keywords. We don't need the internet. We don't need that.
We could go on for days.
We don't
days.
Need that. So let's finish this up.
No, I mean, what you've been saying is that we don't serve a purpose anymore.
I'm not saying we don't serve a purpose. I really want to.
How about that? But what you're saying is we don't serve a purpose. The purpose he talked about, taking down right-wing politicians. And he says, looks like we only can do one more. We can only do the black guy in the blue state of North Carolina who got discredited for state help during Helene. You know, they really abuse that to stick it to that guy. And she's saying, we don't matter. We have no purpose because we can't take down politicians anymore. They are just saying it.
No, I mean, what you've been saying is that we don't serve a purpose anymore.
I'm not saying we don't serve a purpose. I really want to stress that I think that the need for information, good information, is as high as ever. I think we're all in complete agreement. The need for great reporting on the upcoming Trump administration is absolutely
paramount.
Paramount.
Paramount. Great. And of course, The LARPers, the LARPing reporters, they can't do great information because that's our job. They can't bypass the filters anymore. So they capitulate here at the end in this final clip. It's only 30 seconds.
So what do we do this week?
I think we should talk about Joe Rogan.
There it is. Oh, okay. My God.
That's certainly something we can do this week. Didn't Trump call him a hero or the greatest of the great or something like that?
Yeah, I think that his endorsement meant something. I mean, it's impossible to know if it won him the election, but...
This is such bull crap. His endorsement didn't mean anything on the eve of the election. The fact that Trump sat there for 3.5 hours and was just personable, something you can't be on mainstream because it's all scripted. You've done pre-interviews. You know, it's time to death. There's no room. You cut out little sound bites and snippets to build your own story. People had an opportunity, not just on Rogan, on Theo Vaughn, on the Flagrant podcast, all over the place. Oh, you know, the guy's not, they didn't just cut, you know, yeah, he does... says funny, wacky things, or not even funny or outrageous, but in context of a conversation, which is what people were able to see, that is something that you're missing. You lib Joe douchebags.
If it won him the election, but I think Joe Rogan is emblematic of a new media environment that is so potent, that is so easily swayed by Trump's
fashioned.
Lies.
It's thank Hold you.
Hold on a second. Yes.
It's new. It's not new. What Joe Rogan does is old. It's an old idea. You sit, did Edward R. Murrow, I mean, Rogan just has it longer and it's just tedious. It's 3 hours of yak, 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 but there's no, this reminds me when the internet, you know, first had print media, you had no, there was no reason for the upside down pyramid in journalism. The journalism requires an upside down pyramid, which means all the facts are at the top and it dwindles into less and less important information. So editors could chop off the bottom and make it fit on a page because it has to be typeset.
Oh.
And so that disappeared with the internet. So people that weren't used to writing in that in the new form, they just ramble forever. You could go on for days. You could write page after page. Nobody cares. It's just another few bits on the over the net.
Yeah.
But it's not like it's anything. It's not new what Rogan's doing. He's just doing it. I have to say he does a good job. I think he's a good interviewer.
He's not even interviewing people. He's a conversationalist.
That's right. He's a conversationalist. He's a really good conversationalist.
And as we know, people will listen to 3 hours of a conversation, dude. Dude,
bro,
it's bro media. That's what it is. It's the
bro media.
It's the broadcast. That's what it is. It's the bros that are doing it. No, it's because you left a hole in the desire for people's media or their consumption that you could turn around a 747 in. It's so obvious. Everybody's sick of the, you know, yesterday someone asked me to do an interview and I'll do your interview. And it was amazing. It was an internet-based television show, but they ran it like a television show. It was like they had a clock on the Zoom, like counting down how many seconds until the commercial break. I'm like, I'm never doing this show again. This is stupid.
I'm reminded of the show. You see this on YouTube every once in a while where you go to some it's already been recorded and posted, and you go to the clip. People have all seen this. You go to the clip and it starts 30, 29, 28. What am I looking at these numbers for in the beginning? Just cut that out.
just
what start, is it doing there?
Just started at the beginning. That's when they go live and they have a live countdown and then the replay.
But then when they post it, they can take that off.
There's no post in YouTube lives. We don't do that. No, it builds a sense of urgency. Just mark this election, mark this day. Now they're finally realizing, and they will get desperate. I don't know what kind, you know, as we say in the old country, and Katar now macht einen Sprung, a cat driven into the corner can make weird jumps.
Yeah.
And they will be doing weird jumps. And you can count this if you want. You can count the W word, but that is the true translation.
I didn't even notice. I gave up. But luckily we have a guy as keeping track. It's so that keeps you ahead of me. Thank you.
It's 19 to 17. That's the true translation of the phrase. And so they are going to go apeshit. Watch. You want all of the media, you know, MSNBC, who've now been put into a separate LLC so they can cut that evil, cancerous part out of Comcast Universal.
Yeah, they're going to cut it out.
They are.
And all of NBC, not just MSNBC.
The salaries, first there'll be job cuts and then the production cuts, and then they're going to get rid of the people who run around and get coffee for the anchors. And before you know, they're, your contract's up. But we really got to go from 10 million to 1.5 million. You know,
they're over budget all the time. These people are getting paid way too much money. They don't have the viewership that we have in so far as listenership's concerned. They don't.
No.
They're in the tens, twenties, hundreds, the thousand, maybe. It's not. I don't know how they can afford to do these shows and pay this. There's too much over.
Well, the carriage fees.
There's something wrong with the math is bad.
The carriage fees. And so the final thing I will say is the only thing that is keeping these, well, there's two things that is keeping mainstream media alive. I'm going to leave NPR out of it because they're dead. They're dead. They're just dead. It'll be a source of entertainment for our podcast for 4 more years, but they're dead. They're dead.
Yeah, that's true. The fact is they're feeders. They're now feeders. They're feeders.
They're
feeding us.
So that's the second part. The only reason they're relevant is because we play their clips, and mainly because people post their clips on X. And the more people cut the cord, because MSNBC has no other way to make money other than through the carriage fees. Yeah, I'm sure they have advertising, but that it really is a balance. The carriage fees, anyway, if you have cable, you are paying about $1.50 a month for MSNBC, whether you watch it or not. And I implore everyone to cut the cord, get rid of it. That's the only way to kill this cancerous abscess of society, is to get, and it'll cut out a lot of things. It gets rid of a lot of stuff. And then you'll see the streamers are failing. A couple are making it, you know, some of these plus outfits, but anything you put a plus on your name, you're failing. You're failing. Bundle and the NPR bundle. It's the death knell. It's done. And if you want to start a local podcast for your town, you can. And some people are taking me up on this. You can email me. I'd be happy to point you in the right direction. I'll put together a primer. How you can do it is very simple, and you don't need to be all professional sounding like Brooke. You don't need. You can just plug in the mic. And you can just record and you can post it on an RSS feed, and people will enjoy it because it's about your own community, your own local town. There's nothing. You will be king of all media in your town.
So we can get some of these analysis clips I've got.
Sure.
I want to start, though, with Katie Hopkins on
another feeder into the show.
Katie is the British woman who had an LBC
show.
I think it was the LBC.
Yeah, the London broadcast, radio.
The London talking or whatever it is. And she's always been a troublemaker. She's a big Trump supporter in England. And I just like to listen to her once in a while because she's pretty nasty. And here she is not complaining, she's congratulating Trump.
Breaking news here in batshit bonkers Britain, where for many of us Trump-supporting, freedom-loving individuals, it's the best day ever. It couldn't be better here in the UK. We have the BBC in absolute ruins. They were unable to announce Trump victory at 7 a.m. and they said Kamala still had a very narrow margin of a route to victory, even though it's obvious she had no route to victory at all. Channel 4's coverage was shite when it started and then completely collapsed, leaving the channel having to pay repeat episode of Friends or something because they had no words to speak about the glorious victory of Trump. And now we have a leader of this country who actively sent over his own teams to try and campaign for Kamala. And we have a foreign secretary who called the new president of the United States of America some of the worst names under the sun. So we can look forward to Trump punishing both of them very hard in the near future. For now, I'm just going to indulge myself in all the tears of all the people who said, for all the weeks that they said, oh, it's on a knife edge, it's on a narrow margin. Well, looks like Trump won the popular vote, looks like he's got the House and the Senate, and it looks like most of the swing states have gone red as well, and Georgia by 200,000 votes. I mean, truly, truly, one of the best days ever. Just want to say thank you to all the patriots over in America to let you know that patriots in this country are cheering you on as loudly as we possibly can. God bless Donald J. Trump, and God bless the United States of America.
I'm glad you brought this clip because I'd like to put some context around Katie Hopkins. When Dame Astrid and Sir Mark, who are, of course, the Grand Duchess and Grand Duke of Japan and all the surrounding islands in the Japan Sea, Sir Mark's, we're just a few months apart in birthday. And some friends of his, are you familiar with Cameo? Cameo.com? Cameo.com? No. Go to Cameo.com. Cameo.com is where you can get a video greeting from celebrities. And so some of his friends
have I have heard it. You're right. I have heard it is.
Some of his friends had pitched in and they got a two minute personal birthday greeting from Katie Hopkins, who sells these for $50 a pop. Nigel Farage, you can get something from him for $95. This is pathetic. This is the most pathetic thing I've ever seen.
And there's Farage. I see him.
And when they first came out, they were sending me emails. Come on, man, join Cameo. I'm like, this is so sad. I'm a whore. You want me to be a whore?
It's totally a whorish thing to do.
It's like, and so she's, so who, I don't care about Katie Hopkins' opinion when she's selling birthday greetings or whatever you want for $50 on Cameo. It's pathetic.
By the way, that is an interesting take.
By the way, I would love to have someone have Nigel Farage congratulate us on our podcast if you want to pay $95. You can get all kinds of fun people. That's hilarious. You can get all kinds of cool people. Kenny G.
What does he cost? Let's look. I only see his picture on the musicians.
Oh, Kenny
category.
G is $375, but he'll play a little ditty for you.
No, please.
How can Kenny G be $375 and Katie Hopkins is $50? More people are familiar with Katie Hopkins at this point than Kenny G.
Yeah, well, maybe she's doing a turnover business we don't know.
Okay. All
right. So let's go over a couple of these election analysis clips. Now, I have two series of them. Mm-hmm. I have the basic ones. I also have some very, I thought, some pretty cool analysis that came out of Semaphore, which is a...
Well, let's do the Semaphore. Let's do cool analysis.
Yeah, let's do this. This is the Semaphore analysis. I got three of them. This is... Okay, let's start with Semaphore analysis, Trump won.
Shelby Talcott covered the Trump campaign for Semaphore. And Shelby, you were with President-elect Trump and his team in West Palm Beach last night. What was that like?
Yeah, the campaign last night went into this sort of cautiously optimistic. And actually, in fact, the data was so good for them and the polling was so good for them compared to prior elections that some of them were a little bit paranoid because they hadn't dealt with being in such a good position compared to 2020 and 2016. So they were double checking the data, but they were going in feeling pretty good. And as the night went on and the data started rolling in, I was hearing from campaign aides who were with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago, and they quickly became, you know, much more confident because it seemed like all the numbers were going more for them than they were for Kamala Harris.
When Trump spoke last night, what did you hear?
Donald Trump sort of, I think in a way he was almost surprised that it was such a decisive victory. And he took the stage with a number of campaign aides and with his family, and he spent some time thanking everybody. And he said that,
frankly, this was, I believe, the greatest political movement of all time. There's never been anything like this in this country, and maybe beyond.
And he talked a little bit about immigration, which is, you know, a key topic we've heard him talk about before. He went on sort of a long tangent about Elon Musk.
Kind of long tangent. It was a very short, almost un-Trump-like speech. And he gave other people the mic.
I don't know what you're thinking. Mimi and I are watching and saying, when is he going to stop? I thought it went on forever.
It was 20 minutes.
20 minutes to say thanks and go, you know, well, he
He let Dana White come up. He had all these different people. No, he talked. Yeah, no.
Okay, well, it's fine. But the clip of the group, of all the election analysis clips, is the next one, which I think is interesting because this is the only time I've heard it discussed. It makes nothing but sense about the annoyance the Trump campaign had with the Project 2025 document and the fact that it was like used against him, and they were not happy.
You joined us twice on the show to talk about Project 2025. Trump distanced himself from Project 2025 when he was campaigning, but now he has won. What are we expecting there?
Yeah, you know, when I talk to Donald Trump's campaign, they sort of hold a grudge against Project 2025 and the people who developed it, which is the Heritage Foundation. And I've actually been told, and I think this reporting matches what others have been told, is that there's sort of a ban on anyone who was affiliated in any way with Project 2025. Now, whether that holds, because, you know, listen, Project 2025 and the Heritage Foundation, it was a huge project, right? It was thousands of people were involved in some way or another. And so to sort of just mass ban all of those people might be very difficult when you're thinking about having new staff, an entire upcoming White House. But there are some grudges because Project 2025, of course, became such a rallying cry for Democrats, and it was successful to an extent.
What?
What did you say that for?
Because it wasn't.
I thought it was.
You thought it was successful?
Yeah, they were bringing it up left and right, and everyone's cheering. Oh, yeah, those bastards. And they would come up in the conversation when there was a debate. Project 2025 showed up in the Kamala Harris-Trump debate, and she threw it in his face. He had no defense against it.
It was successful as a talking point, as they built their entire campaign around it. Well, that was a talking point
that the Trump campaign didn't need.
Well, didn't hurt him, did it? It's kind of...
You don't know that.
Well, is he president?
Yes, but he could have been, he could have rolled over New Jersey for all we know.
Dude, I lived in New Jersey for 12 years. Don't worry about it.
Well, he brought it down from a double digit to 5 points. It was pretty close. I mean, Trump did get the popular vote, which I had some thoughts about get into that. I think Trump's team is correct into banishing and banning and blackballing anybody involved with Project 2025.
I agree with that. I agree.
And I've never heard this before, so I thought it was interesting to hear it from this woman. Here's the last clip from her.
You know, I do think that Donald Trump's campaign this time around has been one of the more organized campaigns that he's run. Now, is that saying that it was the most organized campaign, or that you did not have the candidate going off script and complicating things for his campaigning?
I'm sorry. What happened there? Did they just decide to put music under all of a sudden?
Yes.
I'll back it up a bit. That just startled me. I didn't know if something was going on.
That's just ridiculous. This is the way the NPR, they don't know. Maybe they think, maybe music will make people listen.
Wait, is this NPR?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I understand. This is, oh, plunk, plunk. I'm getting paid to edit something. Plunk, plunk.
At Hughes Run. Now, is that saying that it was the most organized campaign or that you did not have the candidate going off script and complicating things for his campaign aides? No, Donald Trump certainly did that. But I think the biggest thing is that he had more experienced people this time around who have been there, done that. And I think that sort of is representative of how he could approach the next 4 years. Is when he got into office in 2016, he surrounded himself with a lot of people who weren't necessarily experienced in all of this. Now you have people potentially returning, like Stephen Miller, who is big on the immigration stuff, who has been here for years. They know what the legal arguments are going to look like. They're ready to fight. They are more prepared to find ways to implement Donald Trump's plan that they weren't in his first term.
What, a couple things. Wow. And whoever did that music needs to be shot.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue about that.
Second, have you noticed that Stephen Miller, that's the guy they're going after now? That's the evil guy that they're going to be propping up as he's putting the strings behind the scenes. And he does. He has kind of that evil Noah. What's his name? Noah Nashari. What's that guy? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
I'm having a problem with names today. Yes, you do. Yeah. Noah, the guy who wrote this.
Wrote what?
Hold on.
You know that guy who wrote the thing about the thing.
You know what the guy? Yuval Noah Harari.
Oh yeah, Harari.
That
is a douchebag.
Yes.
And yeah. Stephen Miller's a douchebag too. We've known this.
Stephen Miller looks like him, so he's going to be their evils.
They can do what they want. It doesn't matter because Trump can go off and go crazy because he's not running for re-election, can't run for re-election. I don't know what they're going to do about it.
He can go for broke. He can go for broke.
So he can give Kennedy a big job. I think Kennedy would be the troublemaker you want.
Well,
he's a lightning rod.
I happen to have a couple of Kennedy clips from the Today Show. But you know what? I'd like to hold that until after the break. This is kind of more important. Two clips. One is the world leaders reacting to Trump's election.
I have a backup clip when you're done.
World leaders congratulating Donald Trump for regaining the White House. They took to X, where President Volodymyr Zelensky called the win impressive, while French President Emmanuel Macron posted, "Ready to work together as we did for 4 years." Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau saying, "I know President Trump and I will work together to create more opportunity, prosperity, and security for both our nations." Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in a statement saying, "Your historic return to the White House offers a new beginning for America," adding, "This is a huge victory." Before UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer started a press conference, he congratulated Trump, stressing that strong relations between the US and the UK are crucial.
"As the closest of allies, the UK and US will continue to work together to protect our shared values of freedom and democracy."
But leaders are also bracing for what another Trump term could mean after he's made threats to end military aid to Ukraine and withdraw U.S. support for NATO allies he says don't spend enough on NATO defense. Trump has repeatedly said he'd end the war in Ukraine within 24 hours if he's reelected. The Kremlin's spokesperson saying he's not aware if Russian President Vladimir Putin plans to congratulate Trump, calling the U.S. an unfriendly country. And from the City of Love, its mayor writing on Instagram, "The election of Donald Trump means bad news for the world, democracies, Europe, climate, women, and Ukraine." The Chinese Foreign Ministry only saying it hopes for peaceful coexistence. China is concerned about a trade war after Trump has vowed to place tariffs on Chinese goods as president of the United States.
All right. There it is. A trip around the world.
Well, that's a better clip than mine. This is that, but mine's similar, though. This is the election anal analysis.
I could not help but notice the title of your clips today were rather jarring. I'm like, all right, I don't know what John's been watching, but he clipped a lot of it.
This is the EU reaction.
European leaders cautiously congratulated Trump on his reelection. And here's Eleanor Beardsley reports. Trump pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord, slapped massive tariffs on European imports, threatened the future of NATO, and cozied up to Russian President Vladimir Putin. But this time, with a war raging in Ukraine, the stakes are even higher for Europe, says Parisian Laetitia Lebelois.
So I think it's quite scary. If there's no more help for Ukraine, Russia will invade the rest.
Facing the prospect of a more isolationist America, many Europeans say the continent needs to take charge of its destiny in key sectors like defense. But Hungary's authoritarian leader, Viktor Orban, Trump's only EU ally, called the former president's re-election a much-needed victory for the world. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
Oh,
NPR is slanting the news. That's just a good contrast with yours.
Perfect lead-in, because we know the promise. President-elect Trump said, within 24 hours, I'll have that war taken care of. Hey, I'm getting better at it. It's getting better. And here we go.
Grey clouds and a bitter November chill in Ukraine as the country, like the rest of the world, confronts a new political reality. The re-election of Donald Trump as U.S. president has ramifications everywhere. There are a few places it may be more consequential than here. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky congratulated Trump early on Wednesday, posting on social media that he hoped the pair could bring just peace closer to Ukraine. The game may have already changed for Ukraine. A senior government official told TRT World that Kyiv was open to discussions with Moscow about ending the war between the two countries.
Oh, really?
The official, asking to remain unnamed, added that the government was willing to acknowledge Russian occupation of large swathes of Ukraine's south and east. It's believed to be the first time Ukraine has indicated it would consider such talks. Territorial losses for Ukraine have accelerated in 2024. Larger and better equipped Russian forces have advanced slowly but steadily across the front line in the east and south of the country. The Ukrainian government source said Kyiv would continue to seek the return of the territories, albeit through political and diplomatic means rather than military ones. The source also said Ukraine would need security guarantees for 50 years, though not necessarily from NATO. A senior Western diplomat told TRT World there had been no change in their position, which is that there cannot be conversations about Ukraine without keeping Kyiv in the loop. It's still unclear how negotiations may start, though Ukraine's government has indicated it does not believe Moscow will initiate the process. A spokesperson for the Kremlin said on Wednesday, President Vladimir Putin was eager to make contact and establish dialogue.
Trump hasn't even made a call.
The same thing happened. I was told by at least one of our producers, a Navy guy, that the Hamas is throwing their arms in the air. Hey, you know, we want to negotiate here. So,
but
it doesn't take much,
yes,
I guess.
No, it doesn't, because they know the game is up, the jig is up, it's done. The pivot to China is on, and our fabled journalists, not the LARPers, like Melissa Chan. Who is New York Times? You know, she writes for all the hoity-toity stuff. She was on Deutsche Welle being interviewed. Oh, all the wars. Trump is just the wars. No, we know what is supposed to happen. There is a military-industrial complex pivot to China, the Middle East. We're going to have Abraham II Accords. We know this from our dude named Muhammad. Boots on the ground. It's all teed up. It's good to go. War, the Russian-Ukraine thing is there. We should probably have some peace talks. We'll give back some land. Demilitarized zone incoming. But don't worry. Oh, there's wars. And Trump is going to start China. Yes. Yes. And that will be, again, a non-hot war. We will not be fighting with China. We'll have ships, big, beautiful ships, and subs and bases everywhere.
Some people even say that we're already kind of in a World War III. Mm-hmm. What is this if not an international conflict when you have North Korean soldiers fighting for Russia against Ukraine? What is this when you have the United States involved in supporting the Israeli military in a conflict with its northern neighbors, Lebanon and Hezbollah, and also the fighting against Hamas in Gaza? What is this if we don't have a hot conflict yet, but look to the Indo-Pacific, not just on Taiwan, but look to what is happening between the Chinese and the Philippines in the South China Sea? It won't take that much before you have three global fronts. Wow. What is it if not a third world war, and we might have Trump as the leader of the United States having to navigate that. Can he navigate that? That's going to be the big question for me.
He was born to navigate that. That's the whole point. We're gonna spend a whole bunch of money to keep our industrial base, or to rebuild our industrial base.
Yeah, boats.
Boats. Big boats. Big, beautiful boats. You heard of Build Back Better? It's big, beautiful boats.
I wanted to get back to the analysis of the election.
I wanted to take a break. I mean, we're running very long.
I just didn't get this out of the way. I think we should take a break, but I just want to say, because I've been wondering, I've been watching and looking for what are they going to do? How are they going to explain this whole thing, this event? And this is the kind of the kicker to the analysis, which is they finally came to the conclusion that they're going to blame Biden.
Yes.
Today explained, Sean Ramstrom here with Andrew Prokop, senior political correspondent at Vox.com, who's here to tell us what happened last night and this morning. Andrew, what happened last night and this morning?
Well, 4 years after Donald Trump tried to steal the 2020 presidential election and left office in disgrace, the American people chose to return him to power and gave him another term in office.
And why did the American people choose that?
That is a debate that is going to be very heated over the coming days and weeks and months and years, but my viewpoint is that this election was not so much about either of the candidates on the ticket and more about President Joe Biden.
Come on, man.
Biden
Did you put that in, or is that in this report?
That was actually in the report.
This is NPR?
Yes.
Oh, then yes. Well,
they're listening to our show.
More about President Joe Biden.
Come on, man.
Biden is, simply put, one of the most unpopular presidents in history, and he has been for some time. His approval rating, last I checked, was somewhere around 38%. And again, it's been there for some time. And, you know, I think there was a hope among Democrats this year that Biden's bad approval was just because he was old, or just because of his vibes, and that if they put in a younger, newer face, then they wouldn't have problems with the electorate, with the public, that they would win.
Oh, I'm glad you delayed the break for this. This is good. This is good stuff.
They're just going to pile on poor Joe.
Because
they
know
that, go back to the basic thesis here. Joe sabotaged the party by putting in Kamala.
Yep.
Because they didn't want her. They were going to do a mini convention or something, get a bunch of something going on, and get somebody else in there.
Gavin.
Well, or Shapiro, or Whitmer. There's a bunch of them. Probably Whitmer would be more likely.
Ugh.
Yeah. Tell me about it. But they got sabotaged by Biden, and then Biden further sabotaged them with the garbage comments and all, everything he can do to make sure that. So now this is the turn. Okay, you pulled that. You want your legacy? Here we go. This is going to be your legacy. You. They're going to just. This is just pathetic. This is all.
I'm going to relent to the troll room. They want to give you a clip of the day for this.
Clip of the day.
I think they're right.
Well, let's go to part two then.
So when Kamala Harris unexpectedly became the Democratic presidential nominee in July, she immediately had to grapple with the question of how her campaign would handle the fact that she is Joe Biden's vice president and that voters really don't like Joe Biden. Some expected her to perhaps break with Biden and the Biden administration in some way, say that mistakes were made, make a pretty clear argument for how she would do things differently on policy. She chose not to do that, basically.
Joe Biden is an extremely accomplished, experienced, and capable in every way that anyone would want if they're president.
She chose to argue that, you know, when the economy came up, she argued that, you know, the economy is doing great.
What we have done is clean up Donald Trump's mess. What we have done and what I intend to do is build on what we know are the aspirations and the hopes of the American people. But I'm going to tell you all on this
when
debate tonight.
Immigration came up and voter anger about the situation at the border. She would say, well, that's all Republicans' fault for not passing the immigration reform bill.
But you know what happened to that bill? Donald Trump got on the phone, called up some folks in Congress and said, kill the bill. And you know why? Because he preferred to run on a problem instead of fixing a problem.
This is amazing. You're so right. They are like, you know what? It's the old, that old, you know, and how bad must Hunter be feeling right now? And you know, and Trump should probably just pardon Hunter just to screw with everybody. You pardon, kid, you drug addicts.
He might. I think, you know, it wasn't a Democrat that pardoned Scooter Libby. And Blagojevich was commuted sentenced by Trump. Trump is pretty generous about that, especially with the party enemies, which, you know, if it was Hillary, she'd be having people hanging.
I thought it was, you know, we've been tracking this Biden and how Biden wanted to screw the party over because he felt screwed over. And, you know, he had the MAGA hat on. He had the MAGA hat. He took it up the stairs of Air Force One. Of course, that was probably the other. I don't know if that was the real Biden or not. And Dr. Jill, our first lady, she wore a complete red outfit when she voted. I mean, who does that as a Democrat?
Yeah, that's a good one. You're right. That's, I know, and they showed a picture in a red.
Yeah, that's a bad fashion choice.
Well, it was a comment. She was probably voted for Trump.
That's my point. She's messaging.
Yeah, well, I know, but that's the way she's wearing the red dress, obviously. But
pantsuit, by the way.
Yeah, it was a pantsuit. Okay, this is the last of the clips. And by the way, a lot of people, just before we play this last clip, I will say that a number of analysts have tracked down the moment of pure failure when Sonny Hoskins asked Kamala right on the spot.
Yes. Would you do anything
different? Staged question, what would you do different than Joe Biden? And she and Kamala had no answer. She said, nothing, I don't know.
Okay, we've covered how Harris lost the race, even how Biden lost the race. How did Trump win the race? Because it seemed like his campaign was rather messy.
Well, I think the political conventional wisdom all throughout this race has been that Trump had a good hand given voters' dissatisfaction with Joe Biden and his record, particularly on key issues like inflation, immigration, and foreign policy. But I think one important thing that Trump did do is that he really tried to wriggle away from the abortion issue. He saw and understood that the Dobbs decision was a problem for Republicans in 2022. Basically, at a time when Republican pro-life groups were feeling flush with victory and urging Republicans to go further, perhaps passing a national abortion ban. Trump did not want anything to do with that.
My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land. In this case, the law of the state.
He was cautious about the abortion issue and wanted to make sure that it didn't sink his campaign, which in the end it didn't.
I'm really sick of this analysis for the following reason. First, the Dodd amendment, you know, which is part of Roe versus Wade, was not a law. It was not a constitutional right. It was an opinion by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court overturned that opinion, sending that type of decision back to the states.
Yeah,
that is already the way it is, and they're just pretending like it's not. The media, the NPRs of the world, but really even people who. People who really are pro-life don't even haven't even received this message yet. They still think that it's not not settled. It's settled. It's done. There's nothing else.
It's been settled.
It's been settled.
It was settled the day they sent it back to the states.
Yes, it's settled science. It's political science.
And of course, the states now, some of them, well, the reason I think that they can say it's not settled is because the states have been jiggering with it.
Well, sure. But
and there's some, but the, what happened with it, because it showed up on a lot of ballots because the Democrats thought, well, if you put it on the ballot, that'll bring out the Democrat voters and they're going to vote for that and Kamala. And it didn't work out that way. They separated it because the public, generally speaking, not the dumb 30% of both parties that, you know, think what they think, but the independent thinkers that come out there, they know what's going on. They know that Trump's not some sort of a crazy guy for IVF, and he's glad it went back. The abortion went to the states. It's fine with him. And why are all the people like in California moaning and groaning about this when abortion's been legal in California for decades?
Because they've been given messaging with fear. Fear is Hitler, 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 authoritarian. It's the opposite side of the grid's going down. You know, it's just you make people afraid and then you shove in this message.
I'm sorry. Grid. I mean, it's still the funniest thing that's happened, I think, probably in the last few months.
And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who put the C and cut the cord. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. John C.
Adam Crane, my ship, Seabus and Raffin here. This is a thunderbox. I all the dames and knights out there.
Hello, Charles. We have a flood of trolls. You ready?
Yeah.
2,823 on a Thursday,
which is normally 2,000 over. Yeah, that's about sounds right. Sounds reasonable.
It's a flood of
it's
trolls.
It's not the record breaker that they're telling us we're going to get, but it's close.
Well, what was the record breaker?
4,000.
And what was it for?
I've something.
something important. I don't know.
Something happened.
Someday something happened. I can't remember. It's a troll landslide. Oh, that was after the assassination attempt. That's right. That's
oh,
right.
That could be.
Yeah. Anyway, the trolls.
Like what are we going to be? I don't understand. I mean, we're getting decent analysis for today, you know, generally speaking. I don't think it's, you know, it is what, I don't want to say it is what it is, but I'm going to say that. But it, I don't know what they expected from us after the assassination attempt.
Well, I can tell you, at least probably 40% at this point of people who listen to the No Agenda podcast have realized that the entire No Agenda Nation is built of very productive, very smart, compassionate people, even the trolls, even when they're trolling, doesn't matter. And they come here to feel at ease. It started with COVID.
Oh, yes, COVID.
And with COVID.
I think that's, yes, you're right. People listen to this show because we're not railing about the grid going down.
We're not spun up about stuff. Because
we're jocular.
We're jocular. Oh, let's face it. We've been around. We've been around for a bit.
We've seen the BS before.
Yeah. So.
And when are these celebrities going to finally leave the country? Liars.
The trolls are listening at trollroom.io, where you can join the almost 3,000 trolls today to hang out and troll along. It's been good, actually. It's been jocular. I'm still laughing at word jocular. What does jocular even mean?
It means what do you think it means?
We're square jawed.
We have a good sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And we make light of things that need to be making, people need to be making light of. I don't know how to put that. And we're generally a funny podcast.
We are, in fact, under the comedy category. And although we've never won an award for it.
And we're not comedians by any means.
No, and since we don't want to pay the $150 entry fee, we don't get any more awards.
We're done.
We're done with awards. You can also listen live on a modern podcast app. You get those at podcastapps.com. You can see which one. There's, I think there's 8 or 9, maybe even 10 of them now, where you get a, when we send out the bat signal, you get an alert that the show is going live, so you can listen live in real time. And even if you don't, you can import all of your legacy podcasts. It all works just fine. When we publish the show, you'll know within 90 seconds. So there's no waiting on Apple or on any of these legacy apps. It's immediate. You get all the cool features. Dreb Scott does these wonderful chapters with a lot of the art. And unlike NPR, we don't have to tell you to go buy a mattress, which is what they're resorting to. We don't have to get a plus bundle so that you can support us by listening to premium content. Because, and the reason for that is we're so lazy. We would never make, we'd do the show. We're done. Like, oh, John, I know we're finished with the show, but we still have to record our premium content. Can you imagine?
No. And something I'd reject out of hand.
Or we'd have to be
like, how much work do we need to do? I mean, it's an insult to the audience.
Thank you. Enough said right there. No, instead, we run it value for value, which means everybody is a producer of the show. Some of them are even big Hollywood big wigs, like Dana Brunetti. Yeah,
the funny thing is about Dana probably doesn't mind us using his name.
No, I don't think he does. He would have said so.
I think he likes to be his name. He likes to hear his name. He's like a typical Hollywood guy.
Exactly.
He denies it.
Hey, I got name checked on the No Agenda show. Cool, huh? Listen to this clip.
And what are you doing for me, publicist?
Exactly. So we just give you all the value up front, and we ask you to send some back whenever it works out for you, whenever you feel you've received value.
By the way.
Yes.
So I've been getting these notes from Anderson PR, public relations company down in Los Angeles that does celebrities.
Yes.
And they have been pushing, and I've gotten three. I stopped communicating because I got irked the first time, but they have been, if anyone wants to know.
Yes, I do want to know.
They have been pushing and pushing and pushing. I don't know why he's doing this. This 21-year-old kid named Harry Sisson, S-I-S-S-O-N. He's on the social medias. Hmm. They've been promoting him as, oh, he should be a guest on your show. He should do this. He should do that. And I'm thinking, who the hell wants this lackey to be on anybody's show? So he's paying for the publicist.
Oh, wait a minute. Who is this kid?
You've seen him.
Is he
he's a goofy-looking kid.
Is he the kid who crashed his Lamborghini?
No, that's another one.
That's another douche. Who's this guy? Does he have any video?
S-I-S-S-O, and he's got tons of videos. He's kind of a funny-looking guy who's just a Democrat lackey.
Let's see what he's got going on here. Let's see. Oh, that's just a picture. Doesn't he have video? Where's your video?
Yeah, he's got lots. He's on TikTok.
Here we go.
Well, folks, look what I just stumbled upon. Bryce, you're still running from a debate. It seems like Donald Trump is paying you to support him, but not to understand.
Oh, brother. Does he have anything funny?
No, he's not funny. He's not a comedian. All he does is bitch and moan about how you should vote for Kamala and not Trump. That's it. And so he's hired a publicist. Of course, I don't know. You know, I don't think he's got.
Can I make a recommendation? You should email Anderson PR and say, yes, we'd love to have Mr. Sisson on our podcast. Set up a time, set up a date, and then just not show up. just shine him. Yeah. And then, you know, then we can have a good laugh.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
No, you're too nice a guy. So the time, talent, and treasure is how we run it. So whenever you get value from the show, you just send some value back to us. We love it when you do a sustaining donation, noagendadonations.com. We love it when you support us by organizing meetups, hitting people in the mouth, anything. You could, sending us clips, boots on the ground. I do have a good analysis from our constitutional lawyer about Trump's litigation stuff. He went through everything. It's not very long, but it's good to know. And of course, we have our artists who a lot of them are prompt jockeys, but we still have some actual artists. And yeah, and I think that
most of them.
Well, on episode 1709, which we had the title Umpty Ump, and I was very kind of, I was disappointed that no one, not a single person, sent in an end of show mix with the Humpty Dance. It was, come on, it seemed like an obvious one. I even gave you the lyrics. But we did get great art, Capitalist Agenda. And I think we agree that this may have been partially AI, but certainly not all.
Yes, it was a hybrid.
Hybrid, a Dutch master hybrid of...
which I think is the future of these things.
Yeah, probably. Of a very frightened looking squirrel. Of course, this was in memory, in memorandum of a peanut.
Poor peanut.
With a...
You saw the setup for Harris's apologia.
Yeah, there was a squirrel that ran across the stage.
I saw the video. That's a rat.
Oh, it was a rat?
It's a rat. I don't see how they could call it a squirrel.
Well, that makes more sense.
It was
now,
a rat. It was New York. It was a rat. Hello. I just did it, but I did it on purpose.
Dang. Dang. Okay, it was a rat. I'll go back and look. They titled it a squirrel, so my brain was ready to see squirrel.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Well, it makes sense. It was a rat. And you know what the rat was doing? Leaving the ship. So the squirrel is holding a Vote Curry Dvorak sign with little peanuts dividing our name. So that's how you know it was not done by... That sign was not an AI sign.
No, there's no, I have too many... It would take forever.
Too many problems with it as well.
I think the squirrel itself was an AI squirrel. Cartoony squirrel.
An AI squirrel. Oh, no.
But the rest of it looks like it was hand done. But, you know, you never know.
Well, we thank you very much. Capitalist Agenda, was good to have you back doing some art and a well-deserved win. There were some other pieces that people sent in. There were lots of squirrel pieces.
Yeah.
Lots and lots and lots of squirrel pieces.
Lots.
I mean, we were oversaturated with squirrels. Was there anything that we really liked besides? I see some Tech Grouch stuff showed up late. That was comics from Blogger. Yeah, it's comics from Blogger. It was just too much squirrel stuff. Really, we only had squirrels to choose from, which is
pretty much And that was the best of the group.
Which is really it's a nice tribute to Peanut. We all feel a little bad about Peanut. The October surprise of the 2024.
Don't forget Fred.
Fred is forgotten. No one cares about Fred. So thank you very much. All of our artists, we appreciate what you do. NoAgendaArtGenerator.com. Even if your art is not chosen, it's probably used. Look at the modern podcast apps. You'll see that Dreb Scott is putting that art in the chapters. He uses a lot of them. And we love it. We love it. We love it very much. Anybody can participate. Anybody can contribute. Doesn't matter what you're doing. And we just, whatever mood we're in when we're done, we pick it. We just pick whatever we think is best. We argue sometimes, but we pick what we find is best suitable. It's good for promotion of the show. Then we have our executive and associate executive producers. Anybody who contributes is a producer. We will thank everybody $50 and above. Under 50, we don't do for reasons of anonymity. People like giving $49.99. And there's our sustaining donors under there, which is highly appreciated. Everybody should set something up to keep us going. And as you'll see later on, there are people who I think we have a night or two today, layaway nights, who have just been donating small amounts. And eventually you get there, you come to the round table, you get your official knighting or daming, and you get your signet ring and the whole kit and caboodle, along with your meat, mutton, and mead. We do make special mention, just like Hollywood, of our executive and associate executive producers. Just like Dana Brunetti, you too can be an associate executive producer. $200 above, and we gladly read your note. Try and keep it short, just for brevity and out of respect for all the producers who send in notes. And $300 above, you're an executive producer, and we read your note as well. These are titles that are real, just like Danny Brunetti's titles, just like he puts a title on House of Cards or Gran Turismo.
And mention Dana Brunetti one more time.
And you can add this to imdb.com. If you don't have an account, you can open one. It's legit. So we kick it off, and we are worried no more. We wondered, I think, was it the last episode? We were wondering what happened to Sir Animus.
Yeah, it was a couple episodes ago.
Yes, and we thought that he
was... It's been a while.
We thought that he was working, Or that was Jay actually thought that he was.
We haven't heard. Jay said he was working. It turns out he was.
Yeah.
But we haven't heard from since September.
So
the entire month of October.
So he
and,
said,
and the end of September.
So he sent us cash once again, I presume, with a couple of $2 bills.
Pile of cash.
$2 bills. $3,454 from Sir Onimus of Dogpatch in Lower Slobovia. And as usual, he sends in a typewritten piece of paper, which we appreciate him so much. And he says, thank you to all the producers that keep this remarkable show running on a perpetual 4 more years promise. Really? Perpetual? Enclosed is my September premium subscription fee, plus late fees. Ah, he's already in the plus. I had no United States Postal Service of my flights across 4 continents. Is that, can you send stuff on USPS from an airplane?
No, I think he uses, and he can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think he uses a remail service. Mm. And you have to have some postal system to get to the remail service.
Well, because he says on my flights across.
Yeah, he took multiple flights. He's flying around across for some reason.
Well, he's working.
He's working.
Whatever he does. We don't know anything about Seronimus other than.
No, we don't want to know.
Nope. He continues, I enjoyed dude named Muhammad's sharing of boots on the ground reality in the region. Knowledge is power, and how better to show your power than sharing it with your friends. That's right. Recent trips noted a growing so he travels around multiple continents. We don't know what he does. We don't want to know, but he does share his experience. He talks to a lot of people.
And he shares his pile of cash.
Recent trip from his business. Recent trip. Whatever his business is.
It's U.S. government money. I don't know.
I wouldn't go that far. Recent trips noted a growing anti-NATO perspective, even if people were resigned to limited change in U.S. policy. Locals noted the persistent U.S. favoritism toward their former colonists, ruling countries that extracted wealth from their colonies, taxed without representation, and continued to attempt undue influence. Many expressed disappointment that a former colony and freedom-loving America wouldn't better support countries that are following followed our example of fighting for independence, even if it's over 200 years later. Statements like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, suggested Donald J. Trump's anti-NATO statements were welcomed. Well, that what do you take of that? What do you make of that?
Yeah, I read this note a couple of times trying to figure out what he's talking about, but there is a hint in there that the Middle Eastern.
Yeah, Middle Eastern are like, you know what? As long as
they don't like NATO, they don't like the fact that it's becoming a thing, and they like the fact that Trump is a NATO skeptic, and I can understand that.
And NATO,
in other words, NATO's got to go.
And NATO won't be needed with the pivot to China.
Well, they want to see the NATO a-holes, including your friend.
Hey, Mark Rutte's no friend of mine.
They want to turn, for example, there's discussions to offer South Korea a NATO membership, which is idiotic. NATO is North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It's not, got nothing to do with the Korean Peninsula, but they want to offer them, and maybe Japan will join in too. So this is like becoming a global, this is like an alternate UN.
Yeah.
It's becoming, it's not good. It can't be good. We don't need these world governing bodies.
Did I tell you I met Mark Rutte one time? Did we talk about that?
Yeah, yes, I got his voice down.
Yeah.
What did you talk to him about?
Well, because I knew Frans Timmermans, who became the climate czar for the EU. Because I interviewed him on the radio station that got burned down. And
yes.
And so he was the assistant to Mark Rutte when he was prime minister. And this is back in the day when I was flying my own plane. And I was, there I was with my little Cessna 182. And the government plane, they were going somewhere. So I land at the VIP jet terminal. Here I am. And I see Frans Timmermans. I said, hey, Adam. He says, come meet the prime minister. I said, okay. And so go to meet the prime minister. And the guy, I should do his I'll do it in his Dutch English, just so you get the idea. Yes, I recognize you from TV. Yeah? That's great.
That was it?
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah. All right. Didn't even get a rise out of you. Finalizing Seronimus of Dogpatch's note here. Balloting done by the time you read this, and we will carry on as a country regardless of the outcome. 10-4, sir. That's right. And here we do. We carry on. And thank you so much for your support. A long, enduring, and very generous support. It is highly appreciated.
Yes, I agree. Onward with Count Not Sure in Monument, Colorado. And he came in with 3-3. This is the Rubbleizer donation. 333.33.
Oh, hold on a second. Where's the... How come the Rubbleizer hasn't fired yet? Oh, there it is. There's the Rubbleizer.
India, Tango, Mike. Stand by. 33. Rubbleizer out.
Yes, we love the Rubbleizers. Thank you so much.
ITM guys, Count Not Sure here. I was hoping to enjoy my count status for a bit longer, but with the chance to add another PhD as a doctor of education to my resume, I couldn't pass up the opportunity. This donation now makes me a Duke, and I would like to be known as Duke Not Sure Keeper of the Tri-Lakes and Southern Front Range. I'd also like to give a PhD to my smoking hot wife, Geary.
I think it's Jerry.
Oh, what am I thinking? Yeah, it'd be Jerry. Jerry, and to my sister, Dame Marie. I'm hoping to get one of the American-made Karmas if you happen to have one left in the back of the drawer. I don't know what that is. And Guy Got Ants jingle. Keep up the amazing work you guys do. And here's to 4 more years. 4 more years, Mark Rushall.
When you say America made, I'm just going to think you mean patriotic.
I got ants.
You've got karma.
All right. Thank you, Count Not Sure. Yes. Do you want to tell people, because I think you've only talked about it in the newsletter, about the doctor of education that is available.
I think we rolled it out as a PhD, and there's going to be, if you don't want the doctor of education, you want a PhD, I can talk Jay into altering the diploma.
What do you
I
mean?
I think.
Changing what? For what reason?
Well, this guy, you just read it. He got a PhD.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, you read it. I didn't read it. I was just listening.
Oh, well, you should have been listening.
I'm sorry.
And so we changed it to a doctor of education in honor of the departing Jill Biden. And with some debate between us. And for climate change science. And so it's going to be a doctor of education at the moment. Unless everyone objects to it.
Well, I like it. I like having my doctor of education in climate science for deconstructing lies, and it will become very valuable in the future. And
I think it will be valuable in the future.
Yes.
Have it hang in there.
Paul Fellner comes in with $1,030.26. I'm presuming that is with some fees. And he says, in the morning, gentlemen, I started listening this summer. Bah, new friend of the show. And I wish it had been years sooner. Please accept this donation as a token of appreciation for all you do. I missed the boat on the No Agenda Commodore ship, but I couldn't resist a doctor of education in climate change science. I can't wait to add that to my email signature. LOL. Could I please get a dedouche?
You've been dedouched.
Yeah.
And he adds to that, could I also get a, they're eating the dogs.
They're eating the dogs.
Here's to another 4 more years.
4 more years.
All right. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I like the idea of having it on this, in the signature.
Of
I have
course,
my
of course.
Call letters.
Yeah, I'm going to add my, I have a lot of things. I have a Commodore. I've got a PhD. I'm a doctor. This is good news.
Sir Robert Dawson, parts unknown. 533.33 is a night in media deconstruction. He got the PhD last year. Happy 17 years to the best podcast in the universe. Longtime listener, I loved your election special 8 years ago. And thanks for holding off my Commodore ship until, yes, he had put a, already bought a Commodore ship and then wants it after the election. Until what I'm sure is going to be another epic compilation of legacy media meltdown. We didn't do too much of the legacy media. I can't even say it. Legacy media meltdowns. We did some people, but they melted down, especially on the stupid networks.
Did he want his location to be withheld, seeing as you read over that? I don't want to.
I don't have a location on my spread.
Checking in from Taiwan.
Oh, well, I just read from it. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, no. If he does, obviously doesn't want it withheld because he says it right there.
Okay. Good.
No jingle in particular, just the general karma to all the producers of Gitmo Nation, East and West, the lowlands and beyond. Four more years. Smooth sailing Commodore Robert Dawson.
Thank you very much. And you are now officially our boots on the ground in Taiwan. We need to know what's happening. Let us know, please.
You've got karma.
Yes, please.
Commodore 64 checks in from Chuluota. He's in Florida. $500. Hi, John and Adam. I was the original Commodore 64 just a short while ago, and this should bring me up to knight status. All right. Since several others have claimed the C64 title, I'll change my name to Sir Speedy of the Bubble. Since I'm requesting nothing with my first donation, I would like both a dedouching and as much Reverend Al Sharpton as you are willing and able to play.
You've been dedouched.
All right. Well, I have something for you for that. Also, can there really be too much Al Sharpton? He says no. Also, I'd like to request that we take back the word weird. I'm weird. Some of my favorite people are weird. Please be weird for 4 more years. If you don't agree, sorry I made you say weird so many times, screwing up your tally. No, I think you're right. But we do like to temper words that we overuse too much, and we're doing
it. Yes, we do that as part of the show. In fact, we have to do it because otherwise we sound like, if everybody listens to Mark Levin, they will hear him say and so forth constantly.
Because he has no one there to call him out, to check him on it. Yeah, no, exactly. That's what you producers are there for. And here is too much Al Sharpton for you.
He's getting lunch at Chick-fil-A. The tortoise in the race. Kim Kardashian, Sigourney Weaver,
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
They're all jitty.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
There's no real conflict.
Hey, resist. We must. Resist. We must. We must. And we will much about that. Be committed.
There you go. There you go. Woot. 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 Woot.
James Helson, or Helken, Helson, Helken, in El Paso, Texas. 500. If it's not too late, I'd like to get one of those shiny title Commodore's Jadron, if you allow it. Commodore Jadron. Look up that word, J-A-D-R-O-N. I'm not sure what it means.
Well, I don't know.
If you allow it. Thank you both for all the hard work. It's my first donation, so please de-douche me.
You've been de-douched.
4 more years.
Exit strategy!
4 more years!
Ed Coda is in New Jersey. He could have been red, but he now is blue. If only they had gotten rid of Project 2025. He's in Summit. $500. ITM Commodores and comrades, happy 17th. I'm making my annual anniversary donation and had to take you up on the Commodore title. I shall now be known as Commodore 8 squared. I also think I have knight status, but that can wait until next year. Please say hello to my wonderful deprogrammed human resources, Vincent, Luke, and Madeline. They love listening in the car. Hey, kids! You should say, hey, kids, say this a lot.
Hi, kids!
Just say that a lot when you're around other kids. Say douchebag a lot. Your dad will love it. Also, love the tips, John. Vinegar and Pellegrino? Who knew? All the best. Ed from Summit, New Jersey. All right, Ed. Good note.
Start drinking that vinegar and that sparkling water. It's a pretty good combination, and it's refreshing.
It is very refreshing.
Dan Richman another guy in Alachua, Florida. Is that the same guy?
No, it was a different Florida. It was Chulu.
No, I thought it was Alachua.
No, it was Chuluoda.
Oh, brother, they got a lot of Chuas in the Florida there. 398-66, January 1989. I'm watching MTV late at night to see the debut of Metallica's first music videos. And I'm fairly certain one Adam Curry was the VJ that night.
I was. Headbangers Ball. I think it was Metallica's One was the title of the song. One.
Fast forward 35 years, and with this donation, I'm now a No Agenda Knight. I would like to be Sir Hebe of Hogtown. Okay. It's what you want. Thank you for all you do. I hope one day to be as curmudgeonly as Dvorak. Yeah. I might even take up smoking to get the raspy voice.
We do not recommend that.
I don't take it. Do I have a raspy voice?
You have a great voice. You have a very recognizable chick.
It's recognizable.
It.
I agree with that.
Chicks dig it. The girls
love it. Oh, yeah. Hey, babe.
The chicks love it.
Chicks dig it.
Okay. Onward. Theodore Kotick. Kotick. Theodore is in McKinney, Texas, 343.75. And Theodore says, 4 more years and some baby making karma, if you don't mind. Okay. Yeah. Which you said that people find that jingle creepy. I don't think it's creepy.
The baby That's not making, creepy.
I thought you said that someone felt it was creepy.
I don't remember that.
Anyway, many blessings to the No Agenda tribe from a millennial douchebag turned producer. Well, I guess you get a de-douching then.
You've been de-douched.
You've got karma.
All right.
John O'Neill in College Station, Texas. We got Texas all up in a row here.
Yeah, Texas up in our grill.
33333. Please de-douche.
You've been de-douched.
I need an F cancer and add in a JCD donate. Spooky voice for all the other douchebags. Also, go Trump. Drain that nasty swamp. Yeah.
He hasn't promised that this year, though.
No, he didn't. That swamp is going to be there. He figured, yeah, you know what you're going to do.
You've got
donate karma.
And also from Texas, from Dallas, we have Sir Cristobal, 333.33, our favorite number. I've been digging the shows over the last month, he says, in the run-up to the election. I figured I was due for another donation. That's how it works. You got value, you return value. He says, I would love to hear the eating the dogs clip. Thank you, Sir Cristobal.
They're eating the dogs.
That's an evergreen. That's so good.
Classic.
Yes, it is. It is.
Connor J. Bailey in Tip City, Ohio. A lot of restaurants there, I guess. 33333. This donation brings me to knighthood, and I'd like to thank God, my family, and most of all, No Agenda Nation for their courage. Please knight me Sir Rod, the one who parties, Knight of the Crocs and Socks.
Okay.
So he wears what Crocs.
Animal. What an animal.
Party he wears animal. Crocs with yeah. socks.
Nice.
For the roundtable, I humbly request whatever seltzer John is currently drinking and spaghetti and meatballs.
What are you drinking?
Pellegrino. Oh, actually, no, I got it. No, what am I doing? Oh, did I bring it up? Oh, there it is. Yeah. Day trip. Yeah, somebody dropped it off at one of the meetups. This stuff is pretty good. It's a sparkling product, Day Trip, and they either make it with different flavors. It's either probiotic or CBD infused.
Do you have the CBD infused?
I've had it before on the show, but I've not. Today it's a probiotic, a clementine flavored Day Trip.
Yum.
But that's not seltzer. Seltzer, go with Polar. Actually, Polar. Go with Polar. I was watching one of the cooking shows, which I tend to watch too much, And they believe that they did a bunch of tests of all the quinine water,
mm-hmm.
and Polar won the competition, and it's the cheapest.
Really? Hey, do you remember that time when you had gummies before the show?
Yeah, what about them?
That was great.
What was great about them?
You were great. You were like, I'm still dizzy. It was great when you were high on gummies.
Oh, that was a lot. No, that there was. I had gummies the night before.
Yeah, and you were still high when you woke up.
Yeah, I was kind of. Yeah, I was dizzy.
Yeah, it was great.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I do.
Was that was like 10, 15 years ago.
People still remember.
Oh, well, they're yeah. They get nothing else to do.
Yeah, okay.
So where was I?
I'm on. You're on the spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah, spaghetti and meatballs. Also, I just ordered some more gigawatt coffee. Use code ITM. Outstanding product and excellent service. Yeah. Code Bongino actually works. No karma, but could I get a Bitcoin and Reverend Respect jingle? Thank you for your courage.
How about that Bitcoin? 76,247. Woo!
That's saying that all hell is going to break loose and you're going to need a Bitcoin.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T. And we then see Sir Tim from Overland Park, Kansas, 33333. And he says, Al Sharpton, NF cancer. Well, there you go. We'll do it again.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
You've got karma.
I threw in a goat for you, Mr. Tim. Threw in a goat.
Andrew in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin becomes our first associate executive producer. And he says, keep up the amazing analysis of the M5M donation for progress on my path to knighthood, needing some jobs, karma, and a little girl. Yay. Jobs. $210.60.
Yay!
Jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
Justin Butler is in Phoenix, New York, and with the palindrome 202.02, very nice. Thanks for the deconstruction. For the pickleball listeners out there, hello, pickleball listeners, check out Bread and Butter Paddles at bnbpickleball.com and use code BUTTERS at checkout for 15% off all paddles. Suggestion for Thanksgiving, you suggest donations to be 10101.10, which is a turkey in bowling, three strikes in a row. That's your department. Oh,
that's
John.
That's an interesting
that's your department.
Idea.
Yes.
Huh. Yeah, turkey.
And, he has a rather long boots on the ground, but it is interesting that he works in the transportation business for a cryogenics / industrial gas company. Isn't cryogenics where they freeze your body or your brain?
No, it's if it's freezing anything, it's just a company itself.
Oh, I thought it was freezing brains.
Yeah, but why don't you read this? It's boots on the ground
it's
stuff.
It's a cryogenics industrial gas company mainly delivering bulk liquid CO2. Oh, you're carrying around climate change in a can.
Yeah.
It's mainly used for food products like baking soda, packaging, and slaughterhouses, soda and carbonated water, fire suppression, dry ice, greenhouses, and cooling machinery. There are a few natural springs that naturally produce CO2 in the U.S. The CO2 is also a byproduct of some coal-burning electric plants, but the quality isn't the best. The highest quality CO2, which beverage companies prefer, comes as a byproduct of chemical and ethanol fuel plants. Since the government has been trying to go away from fossil fuels and create less carbon, a lot of those plants have shut down. As a result, the cryogenic companies have come up with ways to try to switch into using nitrogen. Pepsi Nitro. Oh, that's the new brand, Pepsi Nitro.
Oh, that's interesting.
It has,
because we see all this. We see this in beer, and you had this nitro.
Nitro.
It's like carbonated.
Yeah, this nitro business. Interesting. It hasn't been successful in the beverage industry, but a lot of other industries have switched to or are looking into nitrogen. I think we should be No Agenda Nitro. Certainly, there's a product in there.
Hmm. He says, P.S., chip plants use a ridiculous amount of nitrogen, electricity, and water to produce chips. Yes, this is a known fact.
All right, thank you. And remember, check out bnbpickleball.com for the best paddles.
They have multiple uses.
They do.
I'm going to do the next two, and starting with Robert Carty in Spring Branch, Texas, another Texan. He doesn't have a note or anything.
He's our constitutional lawyer. That's Rob.
Oh, you're going to read a note from him. He came with $200.33. We'll get to the note after I read the next donation, which is, of course, Linda Lupatkin, who came in with $200, and she wants Jobs Karma, Trump version.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Mm-hmm. For an umpty-ump times faster job search, visit ImageMakersInc.com. That's ImageMakersInc with a K.com. Your go-to for executive resume and job search, and work with Linda Lou, Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes. Okay.
Jobs, jobs, jobs.
You've got karma.
Okay, let me see Rob's note. And we have a couple of notes here. Hold on a second. Yes. I have, this was, what he sent in was a brief, although good, deconstruction of Trump's lawsuits and what the status is of them. So I'll run them down real quick since he is our constitutional lawyer and he pays us. Can you believe a lawyer that actually gives you legal advice and pays you for it?
What a life.
The guy's the best. Okay, January 6th prosecution. That's Jack Smith. That's a federal case in D.C. Dead. DOJ won't push this as a matter of policy. New attorney general will take it behind the barn and click, bang, Jack Smith loses his cushy gig. Classified prosecution, Florida, federal, Jack Smith, dead for the same reason. Hush money, New York State, Stormy Daniels, Judge Marchand is considering whether immunity applies. Expect a decision next week. If no immunity, then he'll go to sentencing regardless of the outcome. This case will be tied up in appeals, and I'm quite confident Trump's lawyers will keep him out of jail. Lots of potential permutations here. Lots. Okay. Election interference. That's Georgia. Fani Willis. This case has been bogged down for a while. Trump is trying to disqualify Fani Willis. Without her, the case lacks a champion to push it. Immunity will definitely be an issue here. For what it's worth, my gut says Trump will win on that issue. Civil fraud. New York. Letitia James. This is a civil case, so immunity doesn't apply. Still, as you may recall, it's on appeal. The New York Court of Appeals heard oral arguments in September where the panel questioned several aspects of the case. There's a realistic possibility that the lower court's judgment could be vacated or possibly modified to reduce the penalty sharply. And finally, defamation. That's the Jean E. Carroll case in New York, federal case. These cases are on appeal at the Second Circuit. No immunity because it's a civil case. These cases involve jury verdicts, which are difficult to overturn because juries get so much deference on findings of fact. We'll see what Trump can pull out of the hat. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. We appreciate that. We appreciate that legal deconstruction from you. Then we have two more notes. The first being...
Well, got Sarah first.
Yes. You want to do Sarah?
I'll do Sarah. Sarah the Fisher, she's up in east, not west, but East Wenatchee, Washington. Washington. I say Washington. They say Washington.
Washington.
ITM, John and Adam, thank you for your courage. Attention, slaves of Get No Mo Nation. Does your business website suck? Do you even have a website?
This is a great pitch.
Come check out concurrentstudio.com, where I build beautiful, small batch, artisanal brand websites. That's concurrentstudio.com. Mention No Agenda for 10% off your next website or logo project. Love you, mean it, Sarah, the web babe.
Hey, since we're doing plugs, I want to thank Leaf from turboscribe.ai. I guess he started a new business, turboscribe.ai, does transcripts. It is turbo. And now
is it good?
Yes, and I can get rid of the $40 a month I'm paying for otter.ai, which, sorry to say, sucks. It's slow.
Jay was complaining that the last transcript you got from Otter was only half done and never finished it. Did you get the note on that?
No, I did not, but I'll check. I actually, interesting. That's odd. Anyway, TurboScribe is fast. It does speaker recognition, which is always the problem with all these fast things to do with speaker recognition. And we appreciate it, Leaf. Annie Breglia is in Summit, New York. $200, associate executive producership for Annie. And she sent in a note and says, wait, is this, where's Annie?
He has no note.
Annie has no note.
No, she gets a double up karma.
Yeah, you got that for Annie. I thought she had a note.
You've got.
However, Teresa Andrews in Camarillo, California, does have a note with her $200 donation. She says, "Dear Adam and John, this is not my first donation, but it is my very first, hopefully of many, associate executive producer donations."
She has great handwriting. Printing. She's a printer. It's all uppercase, but it's very readable.
Such an honor to be able to produce such a show. I found you at the end of 2020 through a recommendation from Canary Cry News Talk. Love those guys. And like so many other, your perspective on all the COVID shenanigans shrunk my amygdala down to size. Thank you for all you do. And thank you to all the boots on the ground in Gitmo Nation who add their voices of expertise to keep us all informed. You are vital to us. Teresa Andrews from Camarillo, California. Beautiful. Thank you very much, Teresa. And that wraps up our executive and associate executive producers for episode 1710 of Your No Agenda Show. We appreciate all of the support that you've given us. We will be thanking people $50 and above. And again, a reminder that we always love the sustaining donations. You can set up any amount, any frequency, any size. It's all good. Keep it going. Keep the show going for at least four more years. Congrats again to our associate and our executive producers.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Shut up, Slade. Do you remember the last show we were talking about that it was the PBS? You had the clips of PBS, Aaron Reed, the trans activist.
Oh, yeah, the one that you kept, yes.
That I kept what?
You kept commenting on how ugly she is.
Well, guess what? Montana Representative Zoe Zephyr. Do you remember Montana Representative Zoe Zephyr?
I don't.
Trans. Who got kicked. Zoe Zephyr got kicked out of the room for, you know, talking and saying, "I'm trans," or whatever it was. So Zoe Zephyr proposed to Aaron Reed and they are to be married.
Oh, that's sweet.
And it's two dudes in dresses. it's bizarro.
Sounds like it.
And so they saw with NBC News, big picture of Zoe kneeling.
What happened in the good old days when gay guys just marry each other without, you know.
I know, in good looking suits and stuff.
In good looking suits.
Yeah, you know, like looking handsome and stuff. No
handsomeness is allowed.
Anyway, congrats, fellas. I'm sorry.
You misgendered them.
I sure did. You're so valid with that point. Whatever happened to just gay guys looking good? Like, I love this guy. Let's get married. Fine. We're all like, yeah, it's good. You look handsome. You smell nice. Got a little beard going, a little stubble. Beautiful. Let me see. Oh, we might as well get a little update. Things are not good with climate change. You know.
I have a climate change clip too. Good.
Yeah, I'll kick it off because we had the COP16 in Cali, Colombia. It was supposed to be the big party, and they failed. They completely failed. Everyone's miserable.
What?
Empty
seats. I have not kept up with this. Whatever you tell me is news to me.
Empty seats and exhausted delegations. After 12 days of vigorous debate with the record attendance, the COP16 Biodiversity Summit in Colombia was wrapped up despite some unfinished business. Among the 23 goals to be implemented, an agreement on financing policies to preserve nature by 2030 has yet to be reached.
They couldn't get the money part out of it.
That's a huge fail.
They got no money. It's a complete epic fail. You see all these people, you know how they're sitting at the in the big auditorium. They're all, their heads are on their laptops. They're sleeping. They're depressed because they couldn't get a check. It was the biggest attack. Everyone's like, this is the party, man. This is the one. This is where we're going to get the big, that big giant publisher's clearinghouse check for biodiversity. Nope. Nothing. Fail. What do you have for climate change?
Well, this is a, kind of in the middle of a discussion about this idea of getting some of our power from satellites.
Our power from satellites?
Yeah, you get to put a big giant space station up there with a bunch of sensors, and then you beam the power down. And listen, just listen to this. This is the Iceland satellite project.
Created, in fact, essentially for these, because these are very different kinds of satellites that we're talking about compared to the standard types that we are familiar with, or even the large ones like International Space Station.
So if it's going to take a decade or more for this to become cost competitive, there could be the argument that investing in space-based solar is drawing away from funds from mature technologies that we need to be deploying today to meet green energy goals. So is that a valid criticism of projects like yours and like the Iceland one?
That's a kind of a philosophical question, is that, you know, if there are technologies that require investment, but they have more return on them, how much do we want to invest in them before we get the return? But that has been the basic premise of human endeavor that has led us to where we are. Otherwise, we would have still been in caves.
That is a good point. So you're not involved with this British Icelandic project to generate enough solar energy from space by around 2036 to power 3,000 Icelandic homes. Do you think it's a realistic goal?
I think it's a good goal, and I think it's possible to achieve something like that. It's a lofty goal, but the point of it is that it allows us to really understand what kind of technologies we can use for these things and what kind of architectures would be the best ways to achieve this. So I think it's not an insurmountable objective or challenge, but there would be quite a few remaining technical hurdles to be overcome.
Yeah, like the beaming electricity part.
Hold on a second, though. Here's the thing that got me about this report. Have you ever been to Iceland?
No, I think you have, though.
Yes. It's completely powered by geothermal stuff. It's sitting on a bunch of volcanoes. They just stick a probe in the dirt. The next thing you know, you got enough steam energy coming out. You don't need anything. Huh. You have... Iceland has got power stations all over the place, basically by sticking a probe in the dirt. And it's like they don't need electricity from outer space.
I want to know how it works. Beaming wireless electricity.
Oh, it has to do with it. This is like a Tesla idea where you can take a dish and you can point it at some other dish and you can transfer it. Don't walk in between, by the way. All this energy goes from one to the other and you can power stuff. I saw a demonstration of this once in Telluride where there was like... guy transmitting energy across the street.
Okay. Sounds dumb. Sounds like another waste of government money, if you ask me.
Well, especially in Iceland, of all places. You know, in Iceland, they have these, you know, everything's geothermal, and they get their hot water into the city. In Reykjavik, the whole city is not only powered by the volcanoes or by the heat under the ground, but the hot water goes into a hot water pipe. And so when you take a shower in Iceland, you're getting volcanic water sprayed on you. That's the hot water. And it stinks to high heaven. It smells like sulfur dioxide. And so, but you don't notice it because it kind of, you know, it's not enough to kill you, but it's enough to make you stink to somebody else. So if you take a plane flight through Iceland and you have a stopover, which I recommend, if for no other reason, just to buy wools at the woolens at the airport.
The airport mall.
The airport's got a good wool shop. Mm-hmm. Anyway, when you get back on the plane, when Icelanders get on the plane, they stink up the plane.
Stop. When you went to Iceland and you went to the wool shop, did you just buy like... a big ball of yarn, or did you?
No. You buy blankets and sweaters. Oh, you buy whatever you can.
Oh, I thought just some wool, and you're knitting on the plane.
No, I'm not knitting, but you buy wool. You could buy wool, but most of these is finished goods, and it's all duty free because his hand made most of it.
I love the troll room. Has Adam Curry not seen cell phone wireless charging? Yeah, it's not from space, Ned.
Cell phone wireless.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's called induction.
It's not coming in from outer space.
Yeah, I think
every bird that flies through the beam will be knocked out.
Hey, I have two very sad reports. The first one is short and very sad.
Now to some breaking news. 3 months after she kangaroo hopped onto our screens, Aussie Olympian Rachel Gunn, aka Ray Gunn, has officially retired from competitive breakdancing. She did go viral, of course, after this performance at the Paris Games, copping some heavy criticism for her moves, largely from keyboard warriors,
Say.
Ray Gunn has made the announcement on radio, explaining the heavy toll the backlash from this has taken on her and the scrutiny that would be still on her if she kept competing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it wasn't just keyboard warriors. I think actual breakdancers were giving her crap for not being able to breakdance. It was that DEI mess.
I'm on the opposite side of this. I would encourage her to continue because it was some of the most entertaining breakdancing I've ever seen.
Well, send her a note.
People should look this up. If you haven't seen her, yeah, there are lots of YouTube Who videos. Go watch her. It?
Everybody has seen Ray Gunn. No, this is sad because I knew him. I sat down with him for an hour for a live radio interview, and he was a very interesting guy.
Legendary producer Quincy Jones, a giant in the entertainment industry, has died.
He leaves behind a legacy highlighted by work with some of the biggest stars in American history.
Jones was born and raised on the south side of Chicago, and he ascended to become one of the first black executives to succeed in show business. He arranged jazz records for the likes of Frank Sinatra and produced, of course, the hit Michael Jackson albums Off the Wall, Thriller, and Bad. He also discovered Will Smith while producing The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He won 28 Grammys, an Emmy, and an Honorary Academy Award.
I feel like the most blessed person on the planet to have come along the path that I came in musically from 13 years old, you know, starting with Ray Charles at 14, he was 16, and going to Clark Terry and Basie and Vinnie Carter, everybody from Billie Holiday, Louis Armstrong, all the way to 50 Cent.
Wow. Quincy Jones died last night at home in Bel Air, surrounded by family. He was 91 years old.
I always thought Thriller was one of the greatest produced albums in the history of music.
It's fantastic. But he produced Lena Horne. I mean,
he's old.
He orchestrated it. I mean, but still, just the body of work he orchestrated.
He was talented.
For Sinatra. So I had a live interview with him in the early 90s on Hitline USA, Coast to Coast. And I was like,
you have a copy of it?
I wish I had a copy of it.
Oh, you didn't keep it?
And the producer, Dana Miller, he died years ago. And so
they're dropping dead.
If anyone knows. He was the executive producer. The producer, his name was Dean. I forget his last name. He went to jail for some real estate scam, some real estate fraud. So I have a feeling that Endless Summer Entertainment archives no longer exist. But I do remember... this interview was
somebody has it in their basement.
I hope so. It was set up in a studio, like a recording studio, and it was dimly lit. There was a table in the middle, two chairs, two mics, and I'm there. I'm like it's Quincy Jones. Like, what am I going to ask this guy? This is quite the talent. He comes in with a bottle of Latour, and he slaps it down and says, "Let's have a great hour." And we drink the bottle of Latour.
Vintage.
I don't remember. But Quincy was a real...
What year was this?
92.
It could have been 90. Could have been 90. It would have to be too young. I'd say probably maybe an 85 Latour.
He was a wine guy, man. He was a... And he
82,
turns out,
82 Latour. That would do it.
I remember it was quite delicious. And
bet.
We're kind of tipsy about 30 minutes. Let's take another call. Well, Quincy had already had a few because turns out he had a bit of an alcohol problem at the time. I don't think he was bringing Latour in for my benefit. You're like, I need something to drink. His go-to is just,
well, at least he was like, he's like Johnny Depp, who has an alcohol. Yes. All he drinks is like Grand Cru Burgundies. Exactly. And stuff. It's like, wow.
Exactly. Exactly. And then we have something that most people learned about on the No Agenda show. I certainly did.
Leonard Glenn Francis, known as Fat Leonard, was the mastermind of a bribery and fraud scheme that ensnared the U.S. Navy for decades and cost the U.S. government millions of dollars. Today, inside this federal courthouse, Fat Leonard was sentenced to 15 years in prison and ordered to pay $20 million in restitution. Sketches depicted the scene in the courtroom as Judge Janice San Martino called Francis a, quote, mastermind of an insidious conspiracy to commit bribery and fraud. For decades, Francis offered naval officers lavish hotels, dinners, wines, cigars, and prostitutes. Woo-hoo! In turn, the officers steered Navy ships and business to Asian ports that Francis controlled. Once there, Francis would overbill the U.S. government tens of millions of dollars in port expenses. In 2013, Francis was arrested, agreed to plead guilty, and cooperated in a corruption investigation that led to the indictment of nearly three dozen government and Navy officials. However, in 2017, while in custody, Francis cut off his ankle monitor and escaped to Venezuela. Eventually, he was returned to the U.S. as part of a prisoner swap. Today in court, a somber Francis said he sincerely regretted his misconduct and called his actions inexcusable.
I kind of like the upscale hookers and blow, cigars and prostitutes. I kind of like that. We should add that to the roundtable. I think we should add that, cigars and prostitutes.
Cigars and prostitutes.
Very nice. Very nice.
I'm sure they're Cubanos.
So
I have a couple of Medicare discussion clips.
Oh, okay. Yes. That will be important for me within a couple of years.
Yeah, you're going to have to start thinking about it. Here we go. Medicare discussion.
A question. Isn't it mandatory? Like you have to go on Medicare?
No.
I heard it was mandatory.
I don't know that it is.
I heard it was mandatory.
It might be. I mean, you'd be nuts not to take it.
I heard you can get fined if you don't sign up for it.
I don't know this. I mean, it's possible, but nobody in their right mind wouldn't sign up for it because it's so much cheaper than the private insurance.
Benefit covered by Medicare.
Currently, if you need...
I'm sorry, is this the one? Yeah.
...home care and you don't have some money to hire someone, you and your family need to deplete your savings to qualify for help. That's just not right.
That's not right.
So we're going to change the approach and allow Medicare to cover the cost of home care so seniors can get the help and care they need in their own homes.
That home care benefit, Amna, would also cover people with disabilities that are on Medicare, and policy experts that we talked to said that that could end up covering millions of seniors.
So those are the plans we've heard from Vice President Harris. How do those differ from the plans we've heard from former President Trump?
Wait a minute. If you need home care, you can't get it on Medicare?
She's mixing up Medicare. No, of course not. But she's mixing up Medicare with Medicaid when she talks about you have to break the bank, you have to sell everything, you got to get your income down. It's got nothing to do with your income. Medicare is just it comes right out of your Social Security,
How much is it a month?
Oh, it's not that much. It's like I don't have the number. But I'm guessing it's about anywhere between $400 and $800 a month max.
Whoa, that's a lot.
Oh yeah, really? Let me tell you about when I was working at Mevio. So I'm working at Mevio, and luckily I made the transfer right to Medicare right afterwards. And at Mevio, because Jay was under the policy, and so she had an appendectomy.
Oh.
And so
I kind of remember this, I think.
Yeah, she had an appendectomy, and so she, and it was nothing more than poking her. They didn't cut her open or anything. It was all done by probes.
Yeah, yeah.
And the bill for the appendectomy was $30,000.
Oh, that's cheap by today's standards.
It's basically, outpatient stuff.
Wait, was this the time when you said, when I had to fire you and you said, no, no, can you keep me on the payroll for another month or so I can get this appendectomy out of the way?
No.
Oh, I thought that happened.
You're imagining things.
I am. So, I would have done it. No, if it happened, I would have done it.
You never got fired me.
I downgraded. I did downsize you.
Yeah, but that was years earlier.
Oh.
And I stayed
on the health plan, of course.
Yeah. Well, and of course. So I found out after they moved the whole operation to LA and I was like cut loose. And I was also part of the mad scramble to steal everything in the office, broadcasting.
I was gone.
You put
stickers on everything.
Everybody stole everything. And so the place was just bare empty.
Ransacked.
They were going to move it anyway. Yeah. Come on.
Ransacked.
That's the way it goes. So, but I'm still irked that I didn't get the Sennheiser lavalier mic.
Did you get anything? Did you get anything?
Yeah, I got some speaker systems. I got a Macintosh computer. What else did I get? I got two or three things. I got enough stuff. It was fine.
Oh, okay.
And
who got the most? Who got off with the most gear? Carlos?
I think
Eddie.
No, Eddie? He didn't. No, it was one of the executives. It was somebody.
What?
Yeah, don't kid yourself.
Ugh. Like Al, he must have stole the Mossad guy.
So I found out after they had cut me loose and moved the operation to L.A. That they were paying $4,100 a month for my health care.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I just wanted, the reason I said it's expensive is because Tina has Crowd Health and I have, what is it called? Christian Ministries Health. And it's like a collaborative.
Yeah. I understand that mechanism. Well, they have a bunch of those.
Not everybody does. So I'm trying to, I'm not trying to outdo.
I'm just saying I do. I understand. They advertise it on the radio.
Explain how it works then. So people understand.
It's a good tip. It's essentially a pool.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of people. They pool their money, and then they have an administrator that doles it out. It's kind of like a poor man's insurance.
Yes, and she pays, I think $250, and $250 a month each, versus $3,000 for like an $8,000 deductible.
Yeah. Oh, no. This whole thing. Ever since the insurance companies took over the medical professions with this bull crap, don't let the government do it. It's been just a giant scam.
Yeah.
They're really making billions and billions of dollars off the taxpayers' back.
Yeah, bastards. Hey, Trump will fix it.
He's not fixing. Nobody's fixing it.
All right. Second clip.
Yeah.
Some of Donald Trump's top healthcare positions are to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. He also wants to lower healthcare insurance premiums, but doesn't have details on how he'd do that. He has been silent on protecting Medicaid, and he also wants to institute an anti-vaccine mandate for public schools. Now, recently, Donald Trump also said that he would put Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a staunch anti-vaxxer, in charge of healthcare policy.
Robert F. Kennedy cares more about human beings and health and the environment than anybody. I'm going to let him go wild on health. I'm going to let him go wild on the food. I'm going to let him go wild on medicines.
Health experts, Amna, say that appointing someone like RFK Jr. to potentially lead Health and Human Services, to lead the Centers for Disease Control, could end up spreading more public health disinformation, because he has been known to do that. On that Medicaid front, Amna, Trump has said that he wants to reduce federal government spending and he wants to cut taxes, and that he doesn't want to touch Social Security or Medicare to do it. So health experts are concerned that means there's going to be a big target on Medicaid.
Okay, well, this is very good, because I have a whole bunch. I'm going to play only two clips of RFK Jr. from the Today Show. This, who did this report about Medicare?
This was, I think this was PBS, actually. Oh,
what a bunch of liars.
Yes, PBS.
Well, PBS.
Yeah, they're liars. PBS is the worst. I don't want to say it over and over again. If people are donating their money to PBS or NPR, please send it to us.
So Today's Show interviewed RFK Jr. about, and very aggressive interview. So it's too long for the amount of show we have left, but I will play the two bits about vaccines.
Are there specific vaccines that you would seek to take off the market?
Oh, I'm not gonna take away anybody's vaccines. I've never been an anti-vaccine.
You will not take any vaccine that is currently on the market.
If vaccines are working for somebody, I'm not gonna take them away. People ought to have a choice, and that choice ought to be informed by the best information. So I'm going to make sure the scientific safety studies and efficacies are out there, and people can make individual assessments about whether that product is going to be good for them.
Would that include COVID vaccines that are currently on the market?
I want the best science for every vaccine.
And as part of that, during the pandemic, the height of the pandemic, you were questioning the FDA and calling them out for approving the emergency authorization of the COVID vaccines. If you had been in charge of the FDA at that time, would you have blocked the authorization of the COVID vaccines,
What I was saying at that time is the vaccines are not going to prevent transmission, which they were telling the public that they would. They were saying, you need to take this vaccine in order to protect grandma. I knew in May of 2020 that the vaccines were not going to protect against transmission because I was actually reading the monkey studies.
Oh, okay. So here's the aggressive NBC producer. Yeah, anti-vaccine. RFK Jr. is like, well, I read the research and they were not going to prevent transmission to kill grandma.
You would not have told the FDA. The authorization.
I would have been honest with the American people.
And so you wouldn't have blocked it.
I would have been honest with the American people, man.
So you wouldn't have blocked it.
I wouldn't have directly blocked it. I would have made sure that we had the best science, and there was no effort to do that at that time.
And if there is another pandemic that were to strike, why should the American public have confidence that you would allow a vaccine to be made available through the market, even if it's on
let me point this out, that they should not have confidence in the people who are managing our pandemic. We had the worst record of any country in the world. So we had 16% of the COVID deaths in the United States of America. We only had 4.2% of the globe's population. So whatever we were doing in this country was the worst of every country in the world.
So we may soon, very, very soon, find out exactly how well Robert F. Kennedy Jr. performs with a pandemic, because there's a new one coming.
For 40 monkeys that escaped from the Alpha Genesis facility in Yemisi. WJCL 22 News' Kyron Naveau live in the low country, keeping his head on a swivel with those primates on the run. And of course, this is a public safety alert. Kai, what is the latest on these missing monkeys?
Well, Frank, good morning. So, yeah, like you mentioned, 40 monkeys escaped from the Alpha Genesis facility. It happened around 9:45 last night, and police are asking anyone to just, if they see them, to stay away. And that's why we're here at the municipal complex here in Yemisi. But here's what police are doing right now to find those monkeys. Like I mentioned, happened 40 monkeys escaped 9:45 last night. And currently, police have placed traps all around the area to capture those monkeys. Now, so far, I have no idea what those traps actually look like. And we're trying to get more information about that. But police are also utilizing on-site thermal imaging cameras in an attempt to locate these monkeys. Now, the monkeys are used at the facility for biomedical research. And this isn't the first time those monkeys actually escaped from the Alpha Genesis facility. Back in 2016, 19 monkeys made a break from the compound, but they were all captured about 6 hours later. Now, residents are being asked to lock their doors, lock their windows, and if they see these monkeys, to just stay away and call police. Now, we're trying to make some contact with the local police here to get any update on if they captured any, but so far we have not heard back. Live in Yemisi, I'm Kyron Naveau. Back.
I'm telling you, man, there's mutant monkeys from South Carolina on the loose. I'm glad we got our Mpox shots, huh?
Jeez.
You can just wait for it. You know it's coming.
Bogus. It's like the bogus swine flu thing that took place before the COVID one. Yeah. Remember that when you had that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they're lined up for shots.
Oh, yeah. Those people.
You know, I think Kennedy could handle these kinds of grillings better for a politician that he wants to be.
Well, he's going to learn quickly.
He lets him be steamrolled by these guys.
He's going to learn. The problem
is the way you handle it for people out there are amateurs. You go, well, that's not the question you should. You just say, use this phrase. That's not the question you should be asking. What you want to know.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll do it, and then you be RFK Jr. You got to do the voice though.
I can't do that voice without hurting myself.
All right. So. Would you block? Are you an anti-vaxxer? Would you block the vaccine? Would you have blocked the COVID vaccine? Would you? How would you? Huh?
That's not the question you want to be asking. What you want to ask is what I like for breakfast.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda.
Still to come on your No Agenda Show, episode 1710, a dynamite end of show mixes, secret agent Paul returns, and the coveted and very often spoken of tip of the day, along with a rundown of your meetups. And we do have some producers who are reaching the round table, so we'll be doing that in a moment after John thanks everybody who came in $50 and above.
Yeah, starting with Martin Martinez in Greeley, Colorado, who came in with $147. Then we have a bloat for some reason from I can't even get his name. Dame Quality B. She came in with some amount of, with $133.33 and wrote this extremely long note. And I'm not sure what it says because I keep blows out my spreadsheet is so long. Then we have Cali Flat Smacker, $101.01, and Cali wrote a note and sent it in, and wrote it, which we won't read because we got too many things to do. Anonymous, but thank you for the note, Cali. Anonymous in Western Springs, Illinois, 100. William Bullock in Buckeye, Arizona, 100. Joseph Stegman in Thousand Oaks, California, 100. Kevin McLaughlin in Concord, North Carolina, 8008. Archduke of Luna, lover of American boobs. Jonathan Bell, I don't know where this is, but it's in Victoria, Australia, 80. Elizabeth Yancey in Richmond, Virginia, 7903. Tiffany Half in Collinsville, Oklahoma, 78. You there?
I sure am.
Okay. Justin Sloan in Iwa Beach, Hawaii, 73. The South Texas Rod in Corpus Christi, 69.91. Needs a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
Somebody has a bunch of notes there. I don't know what's going on. Sir Becoming Heroic in Schererville, Indiana. 6886.
No, jiggly boobs.
Yeah. David Cox in Austin, Texas, 6325. Grayson Insurance in Aurora, Colorado, 6006 small boobs. Mark Hardwick in Aledo, Texas. But a lot of Texans today, 6006. Sir Not Jake in Thompson, Connecticut, 5678. This is a baronet upgrade note you probably, I think, are obligated to read.
I will. ITM, my last donation brought me to baronet status, but I failed to mention it. John, your pad adhesive tip reminded me of a story my father used to tell. His stepfather worked for a paper company back in the 50s and would bring a stack of new bills into the factory to have them bound into a pad. Not sure the denomination, but he enjoyed being presented with a bill for dinner, pulling the pad from his vest pocket and peeling sequentially numbered bills off one at a time to pay the server. Hilarity ensued. I commend you for dreaming up with this gag on the fly. It's still funny after 20 years, he says.
Yeah. Which brings me to a topper gag.
That's sir, not
that
Jake,
some people have done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Topper gag.
You can get a hold of the Treasury Department and buy full sheets of 20s or ones.
Really?
You can buy a full sheet uncut.
You can cut them yourself?
And you can cut them in front of someone. And hand them the money.
is this really true? You can still do this?
You can get full uncut sheets of dollars, fives, tens, and twenties, and I guess hundreds.
I love it.
Yes, you can do this, and that is an even better gag. To be honest,
that should have been a tip of the day. I don't know why you're throwing it away.
I threw it away. Ed Pash in Omaha, Nebraska, 5668 is a birthday donation. Mike Boyles in Diamonddale, Michigan, 5510. And he wants to call out to Richard Shrivels from Coldwater.
I guess he's a douchebag?
Yeah. Douchebag. So Tom Dari in DeForest, Wisconsin. I wanted Richard Shrivels as his actual name. He just wanted us to say something like that. 5510. Troy Funderburk in Missoula, Montana, 55. Jorge Zavala in Strathmore, Victoria, Australia, 5474. And this he recommends donating 45-47 as the presidential donation. Oh, he put that in his good. Note. I thought 40, that was a good idea. You might add that to our list of donate.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cute. Michael Gates, 5280. John Hulsing in Chanhassen, Minnesota, 5272. He needs more air horn. No.
Too late.
Bert Wilson in Greensboro, North Carolina, 5272. Eric Hochul in Mulrose, Deutschland. There he is, 52. Maria Self with two S's in Sacramento, 5167. Josiah Thomas, Ankeny, Iowa, 51. Andy Sharp in Spring Lake, Michigan, 5005, or 5050, actually. And then Ash.
Hold on. Andy Sharp needs a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
There you go.
Ash in 5006, and now we got $50 donors. I'm just going to name a location, starting with Chris Conacher in Anchorage, Alex Zavala in Kylie, Texas, the Robertson Home in Flint, Michigan, Ray Howard in Kremling, Colorado, Stephen Ray in Spokane, Washington, Edward Mazurik in Memphis, Chris Areskog in Charlotte, North Carolina, Eric Newworth in Rogers, Arkansas, Lydia Sobochinski, something like that, in Windham, North New Hampshire. And now we have a blank.
No.
50.
Oh, yeah, there is a blank. Is
it just blank, a blank, blank, blank.
Blank. Oh.
So anonymous will say. Alex Wenta in Manchester, New Hampshire. Carrie Jackson in Watertown, Tennessee. Jason DeLuzio in Miami Beach. Walker Phillips in San Rafael. Aichi Kitagawa in San Francisco. And last on our list is Michael Statham. And I want to thank all these people for donating to show 1710.
Indeed. Thank you so much for supporting us. Again, thanks to our executive and associate executive producers. We have Commodores to welcome, along with some Doctors of Education. And as always, go to noagendadonations.com to support the show, to help us out, to keep us rolling for four more years. Noagendadonations.com.
You've got karma.
Tabitha of Salisbury celebrated on November 4th. Happy birthday. Greg Speed wishes Ashlyn Speed. We all know her. Keep your eye on Ashlyn Speed. Please keep your eye on the socials for her. She turned 18 on November 5th, which is just in time to vote. And Ed Posh celebrated yesterday. And Andy Sharp turned 50 years old yesterday, November 6th. We say happy birthday for everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. It's your birthday. Title changes. Sir Ralph, the Earl of Neutral Moorsnet and Deutschland, now becomes Sir Ralph, Duke of Neutral Moorsnet and Deutschland. Congratulations, Sir Ralph. Count Not Sure becomes Duke Not Sure, Keeper of the Tri-Lakes and Southern Front Range. And Sir Not Jake becomes Baronet Sir Not Jake. We read his note earlier. Congratulations and thank you all for supporting the No Agenda Show and upping your status on the peerage ladder. Now it is time for our Commodores. The final Michael Commodores, who will be welcoming. I think we're pretty much done for now. And we would like to welcome Commodore Sir Onimus, Commodore Jadron, Commodore Robert Dawson, and Commodore 8 Squared arriving. We might as well go straight into our Doctors of Education. I do not have sound effects for a Doctor of Education. I'm not sure what I should do really for Doctors of Education.
I got it.
We welcome and congratulate Sir Onimus, now a Doctor of Education, along with Count Not Sure, Jerry, Dame Marie, and Paul Fellner. All of you need to go to noagendarings.com, where you can find out exactly how to get everything sent to you, what titles you would like, both on the Commodore ships, along with your Doctors of Education. And, of course, these are real Doctors of Education, because we certify you as Doctors of Education, specifically in climate change studies. We have a couple of layaway knights who sent in some nice notes. The first one is Ralph. He says, even though I'm repeating myself, thanks for all the work you and John do. I'm a contributor for quite a while now. I'm not sure about the exact date of my first donation, but it's probably been 15 years ago. My recurring $33.33 brought me over the hump for Duke the same way it did for all other titles. But obviously, I helped the cause with some extra donations. Oh, this, I'm sorry, it said title changes. I should have read this earlier. I humbly request the title of Duke of Neutral Moresnet and Deutschland. From my home, I can see both. Well, parts of both. I live in Aachen, Germany, and the Drielandenpunt is in view. No jingles, but he would like some retirement karma. Retirement may still wait a bit, but I need karmatic help to find the right moment. That is Sir Ralph, who was Earl of Neutral Moresnet and Deutschland. We'll give him that karma as requested. Thank you, Ralph.
You've got karma.
And then a layaway switcheroo. John and Adam, as of Election Day 2024, the beginning of a new golden age for America, my 20-month night layaway plan is complete. I would like to do a switcheroo and bestow the knighthood on my son, Michael, who hit me in the mouth just in time for you guys to get me through the COVID scam and the ensuing war against Trump for the past 4 years. We both need to be de-douched as well.
You've been de-douched.
So that'll be for your son, Michael, and now for Dave.
You've been de-douched.
And that means we can bring up the knights. We have our blades at the ready. At least, I think.
Here
we
you have, go. I got one. That's
very good. Michael Robertson, Commodore 64, and Connor J. Bailey, step up here to the podium. All three of you are about to become Knights of the No Agenda Roundtable. I'm very proud to pronounce the KV as Sir Michael Robertson, Sir Speedy of the Bubble, and Sir Rob, the one who parties, Knight of the Crocs and of the Socks. For you, we've got hookers and blow. We've got cigars and prostitutes, rent boys and Chardonnay, day trip. It's tasty, along with spaghetti and meatballs. And, of course, we have more goodies at the round table. Rubenesque women and rosé, geishas and sake, vodka, vanilla, bong hits and bourbon, sparkling cider and escorts, ginger ale and gerbils, breast milk and pablum, and, obviously, the mutton and mead. All three of you can head over to noagendarings.com. They have very handsome signet rings. So, of course, that comes not just with a certificate of authenticity, but also with some wax to seal your important correspondence with. Thank you all for supporting the No Agenda show. It is highly appreciated and hopefully well worth the value you received.
No Agenda meetups.
Yep. Like a party, the No Agenda meetups. If you've never been to one, this is where you get your connection, which automatically brings protection. Your No Agenda producers who you meet at the meetup will be your first responders in any type of calamity, like the grid going down. And you can go to the Northern Wake Public Slave Gathering in just an hour or so in Raleigh, North Carolina at Hoppy Endings, or the Central Colorado Election Hangover Meetup. That'll be at 6:30 in Palmer Lake, Colorado, O'Malley's Pub, or the Cincinnati Election Digestion Meetup, 7 o'clock in Cincinnati at Bramble Patch. And on Saturday, the Boston Red 33, Hand Heavy, He's My Brother Meetup, 2:30 in the afternoon, Castle Island Brewery in Norwood, Massachusetts. Sir Nathan Lee Miller is the organizer of that. On Saturday, also the Fort Wayne November Hanging Chad and Ballot Counting Extravaganza, 3:30. And that's at Shigs in Pitt Barbecue on Maplecrest Road, Fort Wayne, Indiana. The Bastrop Locals, 5 o'clock in Neighbor's Yard in Bastrop, Texas. Dame Slamy hosting that. And our next show day, Sunday, the West Valley Entomophagy Association gathers at 3 o'clock at Westgate Chicken and Pickle in Glendale, Arizona. And finally, we have Rotolo's Pizzeria will be the spot for the Longview mid-month monthly meetup, the Election Hangover Edition. That's in Longview, Texas. Dirty Jersey Whore is organizing that. If you've never been to a meetup with Dirty Jersey Whore, I suggest you go. He and his wife are good people. The whole list is available at noagendameetups.com. There is quite a lot because people need that connection. It gives you protection. Noagendameetups.com. If you can't find one near you, start one yourself. It's easy.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want me. Triggered on hell's flame. You want to be where everybody feels the same.
I have way too many ISOs.
Well, good. I have two.
Why don't you
play yours and we'll see my, I can top it.
Okay. I'm cutting a couple out here. Let me see. All right. So here is, this is the first one.
You guys are just the filter.
Okay. I got a laugh. I got this one.
That's a good one.
And this one.
Oh, would you look at the time? I better be going.
Yeah, not all that great. This one?
And they think you're the one that's brainwashed.
Okay. But this, I think, is the one.
These are grade one national treasures.
Hmm?
I like the filter one better.
You like the first one?
You guys are just the filter.
It is kind of funny. Okay.
Well, I got two.
Okay.
I was almost going to relent and just give you that one, but I'll try these.
Okay, because you never know.
I got it. I got, how did we?
How did we get here?
Yeah.
And I got Oy Vey.
Oy Vey, such a podcast.
I would normally, you can bring the Oy Vey, such a podcast back for Sunday show. Because I think it's worth it, but I think there's a clear winner here.
You guys are just the filter.
Come on.
Yeah, you know what makes it work is that chuckle.
Is the chuckle. And it's Nora. That's the best part.
It's Nora. She also did a shticker in that whole bit. She did a voice, another voice.
No.
But yeah, she's gone. She's done.
All right, everybody, what is not done is the best part of the show. John's tip of the day.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCB.
Well, this is a tip that you're not going to like.
Hold on. Wait for the jingle to end.
This is a tip you're not going to like.
Why?
And,
why would I not like your tip?
Because it's just a tip you're not going to like.
Oh, geez.
And it's not a tip that everyone's going to take advantage of because actually, I don't know if you can do this free because I haven't found a way to do that. I'm sure there's some way. But this is, and I want to get feedback from Linda Lupatkin about this. This is a very interesting site called instaheadshots.com.
Why would I not like InstaHeadshots? I'm already liking it.
Because what you do is you send it 5 photos or 2 photos or 3 photos, and it creates a bogus headshot using AI that are just fabulous.
Have you used this for yourself?
No, I don't need to do this. I just am fascinated by the fact that they can do this. It's a fascinating product. I want to hear from Linda Lupatkin about it.
Oh, yeah, for the resume, sure. That makes sense.
And it's for people who because there's a lot of people have snapshots, million pictures from their phones, but they can't, you know, they don't have a professional. And I don't like the idea of putting professional photographers out of work, but I think professional photographers could use this product themselves because most people that are getting put out of work, like the artists and spot art and all the rest,
yeah,
they should just join, to start becoming a prompt jockey, and then you have the art background, you know it looks good, you know it.
Okay, that's the part. Yeah, you're right. You're telling people to give in to the AI. Yeah, I don't like that part of your tip.
Yeah, I know. But there's nothing you can do.
Well, what I think I will do is I'm going to try this this gizmo out. I'm going to try, what's it called again?
Insta Headshot.
I'm going to try instaheadshot.com. Is it?
Yes. Yeah.
And I will upload that to my Cameo account. That's it, everybody. $50. I'll say hi to you on video. There it is, John. Tip of the day. Tipoftheday.net.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCD.
And sometimes Adam.
Truly valuable tips that you can only get here on the No Agenda Show. Some people go straight to the end. It's kind of your spot. People used to buy PC Magazine, go straight to the back page. Now people go straight to the end of the podcast to hear your tip of the day. It's your format, man. It's your format.
Well, I was on the back page of Mac User and a bunch of other publications, but PC Magazine, it was in the middle.
No. Sorry.
Just to keep, so I don't have false, whatever.
Fake news. End of show mix is coming up from D's Last. Professor Jay Jones and Secret Agent Paul returns with a beautiful ditty. Coming up next on No Agenda Stream, trollroom.io, the modern podcast apps. Random Thoughts will be riding the red wave. It was recorded yesterday, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Thank you all very much for tuning in. Lots of trolls, a tidal wave of trolls joined us. Tell somebody about the show and remember us. Support us. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're all wondering, where's Tim Walls? I'm John C. Dvorak.
Remember us at noagendadonations.com. Until Sunday, adios, mofos, a hooey hooey, and such.
I think it's going to be a blowout, actually.
The polls will be tied, and then he'll lose.
I think she's going to win.
You wrote Trump is toast. Do you stand behind that today?
Oh, even more so.
You just effed up.
And I anticipate that, you know, something will happen in October, as it always does. So you look at where people get their information, and they get their information largely from social media. And so the campaign is doing the best job it can to combat that, combat both domestic and foreign false disinformation. But I anticipate there will be a full court press in October.
I wasn't sure how to open October surprise. Shopping online in the Batman store, I found this gem. It's called the House of Lies. Perfect name, we're in the season of reveal. Will we see another rally before? Stop the steal. I can't stop listening. I left it on repeat. I'm painting pictures in my head of what I sound like on this beat. Haven't heard anything this hypnotic that put me in a state of mind since Mr. Information and Sweet. October surprise, October surprise. Teamed up with the Dark Knight for the politically charged House of Lies. Pequeñones, I don't wanna get you excited about politics. Do what's in front of you locally. Join the OGC, it's realistic. Don't count a signal, how can you not know this? UN agenda, immigration is war, how can you not notice? Donald Trump, the president, he was number 45 serving Mickey D's. Call him POTUS, Bitcoin Bobby, Orange Man Bad in Tennessee. For the Bitcoin conference, laying out their monetary policy.
Crop collapse, fisheries collapse, unfolding ozone layer collapse, global rain cycle collapse, record droughts, record firestorms, record deluges, all taking place. A shiny new aerosol might work best. Injecting about 5 million tons of diamond dust into the atmosphere each year would be enough to cool the planet.
Diamonds are forever.
Geoengineering in the sky with diamonds. Diamond dust.
They are all I need. Please me.
Does anyone actually buy into such utter and total nonsense from the so-called climate science community? Geoengineering is controversial at best and risky at worst. One of the most researched proposals, they say, is stratospheric aerosol injection. And of course, no mention of the climate engineering elements that have been showing up in rain samples for decades. Aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, surfactants. This must change soon. We're running out of time.
I can see every part.
Diamond dust yarn of total nonsense. From futurism.com, scientists propose shooting $200 trillion worth of pulverized diamonds into atmosphere. Dr. Douglas McMartin is the scientist that was solely responsible for triggering Facebook's draconian censorship of the groundbreaking Geoengineering Watch documentary entitled The Dimming, proving that climate engineering is a reality.
Diamonds are forever.
this feat of solar geoengineering via the deliberate release of small particles in the atmosphere is known as stratospheric aerosol injection. There are ways of cooling the planet, spending decades grinding up something approaching a quadrillion dollars worth of diamonds into dust, and then dispersing the powdered gemstones into our atmosphere.
I was born in a middle-class family. We all fell out of a coconut tree with aspirations, ambitions, and dreams. We were unburdened by what has been. We were unburdened by what has been. We were unburdened by what has been. Pull back the curtain and lift the screen. And we are unburdened by what has been.
Dvorak.org/NA.
You guys are just the filter.